another footy show. Show!
Kieran Foran is a gun, but don't take our word for it.
And with the South Sydney defence sliding and going backwards, Kieran Foran goes around Ben Lowe and over the top of Chris Sando to give his team a chance to wrap it up 22-all with this conversion.
Oh, he's a good one. He's a real good player. He's probably looking a little worse for wear after, you know, we've had nearly 18 rounds now, I suppose, we're up to. But by the same token, when he gets the ball in his hands, he believes he can make things happen. He imposes his will on the game. He has the self-confidence to think that he can change a result. We've seen him do it before. He's got the opportunity there, and he's nailed it. That's what makes him such a wonderful player. Just needs Jamie Lyon to add the icing on the cake.
Lyon, and it's hit the uprights and bounced away. No goal as we take a break. It's 22-20 in favour of South Sydney. Stack the blind side, and here they go to Foran, and Foran for the line again. I think he's got another try. Sato, the referee, is saying that was unsighted. It's got a remarkable resemblance to his previous effort.
Teammates believe that he has scored. Kieran's not giving much away. He's a pretty unflappable character, with a shake there of the head in the affirmative. But again, they back off, tempting him to run, and we know he scored. He puts his body on the line. We've seen it so often defensively, but he does so with the football. Sam Tagatisi nearly cut him in half on two occasions against the Titans, but he'll cop that. If the benefit is for his football team, and he's done so again there.
That's a try. It's a try for your life. And on the previous play of the ball, I want to tell you about the dominance of Kieran Foran, the way he sets himself up for this play. This is a try for all your life. But on the previous play, Glenn Stewart comes from the right-hand side of the field to left to dump a ball off to Jamie Bure. Now, Glenn Stewart looks to head off back to his own position on the other side of the field, and Kieran Foran says, come here. There's Stewart. Stewart will offload. He gets up, and he went to come back this way. And Kieran Foran says, get outside me. Get back there. And he made him make the run. He made him make the run, hold the defence off him, and go. Now, that's the dominance of a young playmaker and the response of a senior player that says, yeah, this kid knows what he's doing. Glenn Stewart was about to toddle off back to his position, and Kieran Foran said, no, stay here with me. My ball, come with me, dummy, try. Now they're in front.
It's 24-22, Andrew John, sideline.
Gus spoke about the presence of Glenn Stewart on the outside. I'm going to talk about the presence of Brett Stewart on the inside of Kieran Foran. That's why they were holding. You see Brett Stewart in the number one jersey. He comes late from the other side of the ruck. That holds the markers up. That enables him to get over the advantage line. You give a player like Kieran Foran room, he turns from a 5'8 into a back rower. What a player.
G'day everyone, this is Warwick Nicholson. Welcome to episode 73 of Not the Footy Show. I'm your host. I'm joined by Maria Cialis, Matty Duncan, DC Chapman, Nick McInerney, and of course Eyes, giving all our tips on round 19. We look at round 18 in review. We've got plenty on the NRL fan survey. If you haven't filled that out yet, check out wdnicholson.com, and we will review that in depth next week on episode 74. We've got all the signings for 2012. We've got our five-question quiz, which is actually four questions. We've got the Fantasy League winner for phase number two. Congratulations to... you have to find out later in the podcast. Tim Sheen's press conference when he went bananas. We've got a bit of Dane Tilts action giving you his avocado recipe, and of course, special fried rice and plenty more on Not the Footy Show, episode 73. The round 19 preview. Enjoy.
Not the Footy Show.
Here's just a tease of what's to come right at the end of the podcast.
There it goes to Gary Schofield running through the middle. Oh, he's a beautiful tackle by Ricky Stewart. He'll offload away to... oh, no, he won't. He'll have to go back. It's a turnover. The French referee, Baguette Croissant, he will say that it's a pass off the ground by young Gary Schofield.
Yeah, good cover tackle there by Stewart. He's done good tonight. He'll be a champion for Australia for years to come.
This is it. This is it.
better now. You can feel it.
Show.
G'day everyone, welcome to Not the Footy Show, episode 73. It's the round 19 preview. I'm Warwick Nicholson.
I'm Dave Chapman.
And on the line, the man from Queensland himself, Matty Duncan. Matty, good morning, evening.
Hey boys, how are you?
Very, very good, mate. We're going live once again. Thousands of people watching, minus about 997 is the current view count. But if you're currently listening, say g'day to us. We'd love to say hello and hear your feedback on Not the Footy Show. Now, Dave, I've got the five questions this week before we get into any of the issues that are there to be spoken about on Rugby League this week.
Yes.
I mean, Mao's Wambulance, you know, no one likes me, all this kind of stuff. We're going to go into that with Matt. We're also going to look at round 9, Ryan Dundee in review, and we're going to look at round 19, a few other things. Hindy cracks 300, you know, all these great things, but we've got our quizzes back again, and I'm going to get people who are watching online and also you two geniuses to try and answer my five questions that I've devised this afternoon. And while that's all happening, Dave, what will we be watching on TV?
Well, it said Old Trafford, but I don't...
It did.
It looks like late 80s.
It's 1990, Kangaroo Tour, second test, on in the background. If you know how it ends, Matty, you know how it ends, don't you, mate?
Well, it's an exciting one. I got up late, early, / in the morning to watch it. Oh, I was very nervous.
Yeah, no, if we probably won't get to the end of it, because I don't think we'll be online that long, but... as the highlights happen, people, we'll give you a little bit of an impromptu call of the 1990 second Kangaroo Test, Australia versus a Great Britain. Now, Dave,
yes.
Have you turned your phone off?
No, I haven't.
Dave is turning his phone off, ladies and gentlemen. There it is. The quack attack is on. Again, if you're online, say g'day to us. Now, the first question. Just turn that thing off. The first question in Not the Footy Show's quiz on episode 73 is one to sort of think about as the show goes over, ladies and gentlemen. Since 1967, when a couple of teams were entered in, so don't include the teams that came in 1967, how many clubs have been admitted into the NRL, or the New South Wales Rugby League, since 1968? And can you name all 13? Oh, I gave it away. There you go. 13. Smooth manoeuvre, Hoover. 13. Can you name all 13?
Wow.
I'm going to give you guys a chance to rack off some, get a few out off the chest right now. But, Matt, you got a few to throw at me, mate?
The Illawarra Steelers.
Yes, indeed.
Newcastle Knights, the Brisbane Broncos.
Oh, those Cats, yep.
The Gold Coast Giants.
Oh, he knows that technicality.
But is it the Giants, the Seagulls and the Titans?
No, there's only two. Who's the second one?
Well, the Titans.
The Titans, all right. Keep going.
What happened to the Seagulls?
They're the Giants.
They were the Giants.
Okay, exactly right. Okay, it's the same thing, they just changed the name.
Yeah.
Who else we got, mate?
95 teams, Western Reds, North Queensland Cowboys.
Yep.
South Queensland Crushers.
Who were the other teams there? South Queensland Crushers.
That's right. Western Reds and Auckland.
Yep.
The Auckland Warriors.
We're up to 9, I think.
Is that look?
Sorry.
The Canberra Raiders, the Green Machine.
Hey, there we go.
When did Cronulla come in?
Cronulla came in 67, I'm pretty sure.
Okay, what about Penrith?
With Penrith. They're the two teams that came in 67, right. So they don't count. How you doing, people? If you know, check into the chat on the side. Tell us what you think the answers are.
Can we say,
ladies and gentlemen, we don't want to know, okay, who knows how to use Google best, all right? Use it from your noggin. Use your head. Don't just go on a Google, Rugby League Project, and come up the answers.
Yeah.
Use your brain, come up with them. So we've got at least 1, 2, 3. Technically, we might have 5 teams left, but I'll accept 4.
Yeah, well, Melbourne Storm.
Except 3. There's actually technically 4, but I'll accept.
But are we allowed to say the Northern Eagles? Is that it?
Well, that's a very good point. Do you think that they become new clubs? Do the West Tigers, the St. George Illawarra Dragons, and the Northern Eagles become new clubs if they were mergers of the old two? Probably add them to it. So that makes it probably 16 or 17.
Yeah,
because you still haven't got the one that I'm thinking you probably won't get. So there's at least 3 more that I think exist. At least 2.
The Adelaide Rams.
Adelaide Rams. Yep.
Hunter Mariners.
Hunter Mariners, and there's 1 more.
Oof.
And remember how I phrased the question, everybody? Name all the teams that have been admitted into the NRL since 1968.
Also admitted.
Not joined.
Oh.
Because joined indicates a new club. Thinking.
Oh, you mean like they went, like Newtown were out and then came back in or something like that?
No, they were gone. They got punted in the early 80s. But you're not too far off. Come on, boys.
South.
There we go. Ding, 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 ding. So, here we go. We think, after getting you guys to answer, I think it's Canberra, Illawarra, Gold Coast Giants, Brisbane Broncos, Newcastle Knights, Auckland Warriors, Western Reds, South Queensland Crushers, North Queensland Cowboys, Adelaide Rams, Hunter Mariners, then the Melbourne Storm, and then we had the West Tigers, St George Illawarra Dragons, Northern Eagles.
I want you to say.
And then okay. South Sydney in 2002, and then the Gold Coast Titans in 2007. I think it's 17 in total teams since 68.
Say the question again.
All right. The question is, since 1968, okay, so yeah. After Cronulla and Penrith,
yeah.
Name the X amount of clubs who have been admitted into the competition.
Okay. The competition.
Yes, the competition. Otherwise, I'd say New South Wales won't be the rest of it. Yeah, exactly.
Because the Hunter Mariners are only in.
Well, that's right. That's the competition. So they count. They count. They're in there. Of all those names of those teams that are now defunct, guys, what do you think the best name that ever came up of all those new sides was? I've got to put my vote in for the Adelaide Rams.
Oh, I had to go. I was going the Rams.
Oh, really?
It just worked. The logo was half decent. But the Rams, wool, South Australia. I mean, it's not New Zealand, but it's close. There's a link with sheep, so.
I can't remember the Adelaide Rams logo.
The Hunter Mariners was this bloke. He looked like a slash lifeguard sort of bloke just wearing a flag.
Are you going to put all this on WD Nicholson?
Mate, there's a few of them on there. There's a really popular article up there on the top 10 logos in history, which people might be interested in seeing. I think I had the Brisbane Broncos at number one. How do you guys rate that?
Really?
The best logo I think I've ever seen was their original logo, the Brisbane Broncos.
Oh, with the steam coming out its nostrils and all the rest of it.
Top of the footy show.
Somebody got a whambulance.
I wanted to ask you guys about Mal's trip on the whambulance. Now, everybody will be aware that he had a bit of a go on the weekend at the rats and filth in New South Wales. Now, Matthew, you're the resident Queenslander on the panel. What are your immediate reaction? What was your immediate reaction to hearing Mal whamble on?
No, I had no drones at all, but it's got a few New South Welshmen fired up.
Well, that's the ironic part about it, is that we're watching now, Mal Meninga is about to toss the coin with his English counterpart, Ellery Hanley, on TV, by the way, ladies and gentlemen. That was the thing that frustrated me about...
Rotten, stinking cane
toe. Is that he's had a crack at everybody for having a crack at him, and now everyone's laughing at everybody reacting to him having a... I don't know, the way that it all just keeps moving around...
He's a whinging cane toe.
He is. The best one, by a mile was, he did what Gordon Tallis did back about 4 weeks ago when we had that whole Dave Taylor dangerous tackle thing and Gordon comes out with, it's the same tackle as Uarte, they should be let off. And then everybody knew the facts, which was that Taylor had about 1,000 percentage points carrying over, which meant instead of getting 1 week suspension, he was facing like five. And good old Mal's ghostwriter, I think it was somebody Walters, I believe. Let me have a look here. Michael Walters, I think his name is, for the Courier Mail, comes out with, there's the same tackle between Uarte and Taylor, and one guy gets 5 weeks, one guy gets one. Just check your facts, Mal. If you're going to whinge, check your facts. And that was the frustrating thing for me, was these little bits and pieces, just get them right if you're going to whinge.
You don't like people not having the facts, do you, Waz?
No, I'm all for fudging facts. You can make up the best story ever, but... When it had already been in display, and then he used this one of his reasons, and there was an article by Roy Masters where he defended the honour of Bob Fulton, who was one of the puppet masters for Ricky Stewart. Did you read that one, Matt?
Yeah, I did, actually. I've read all the counter-articles. New South Wales coming on the counter-article, and then Peter Basolis up here has hit back with one at Roy Masters, and then
ooh.
I think there's another one come out, and I've enjoyed it.
The thing that I said to Dave before we went on air is, you know, this kind of whinge from Mal would have made sense if they'd lost the series, but I think people aren't too far off with the element of saying that he's a bit of a sore loser in that he comes out with it all afterwards saying, ah, look at me, we've got the greatest team since the St George Dragons when they won 11 comps in a row. That was the comment that I thought was a little bit interesting to come out of it.
Yeah, I actually think he's... I think there's a concern whether or not, a passionate man like you would, want State of Origin to go together. But there is some, talk that Origin has lost its, if Queensland keep winning it loses its, mantle as the top centrepiece of our game. So what better way to keep it interesting than the Queensland coach to give the biggest spray of all time to New South Wales to, in 12 months' time, they're going to be raring to have a crack at Queensland again.
There's an interesting comment.
Yeah. Hopefully next year he'll do it before the State of Origin.
Well, it was in relation to what Masters said. He said he was thin-skinned. And that was fair enough comment, because everyone remembers Mal Meninga's outstandingly long political career when he couldn't answer the first question he got asked on radio and walked out. So he's got a bit of a history, old Mal, in not being able to cop it, basically. But the funny thing was, within all those comments, is that, you know, at the end of the day, Queensland got the victory. I'm all power to Queensland. They were a far better side on the night. And I just wish we'd sort of been able to hear that, that a guy like Mal Meninga wasn't going to get riled by a guy like Phil Rothfield. That's the bit that, the element within it all, is that
he should be
if he's letting himself get done by a gibberer like that, then he's got problems.
But like Matt says, I think there is a little bit of Mal deliberately reacting. Like, he doesn't really care, but he wants a bit of the passion there, a bit of the...
I reckon something that bugs Mal Meninga is the fact that he couldn't coach Canberra. Let's be perfectly honest. Bit of Toto Africa in the background. Did you play that the other night, Matt?
A couple of weeks ago, I did. Yeah,
very, very good. If you're getting riled up by like Phil Rothfield, there are more issues at stake than...
The one good comment I did see, and it was written today in the Courier Mail by Robert Craddock, who's the chief sports writer for the Courier Mail. He said there's something along the lines, you can only throw so many stones at the big bear before it, he starts to fire up. he copped it, and he thought, well, this is enough, I'm going to bite back at you.
He's a big bear, that's for sure.
Right.
I'm a real fan of Mal Meninga, the player. Couldn't coach to save his life at the Raiders, but he's done an extremely good job. Do we dare say coaching Queensland for the last 6 years?
Was that? stop throwing stones at the big brown
bear. I love him. Just can't coach. That's Mal Meninga covered.
In fairness to his Raiders, it was early in his, early out of his playing career.
Oh, way too early.
He failed in a similar circumstance.
Yeah, I've made the comment many a time to other people that you can't, I don't think it's a good idea to go from being the leader of a group of players as a player to then being the coach of that same players, because they know how you go, they know how to pull your pressure buttons.
And you've even got to wait.
Know how far they can go with him.
You've got to wait quite a few years before you can go back to that team and really...
Hmm. The old rule is you can't coach anyone you played with.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, there'd be a few occasions where that's, where that would work, but as a general rule...
Ricky Stewart with Brett Mullins in 2002 is one example, but, I mean, Mullins was a bit part player back then. All right, after the break, everybody, we will look at round 18 in review when the North Queensland Cowboys kept on track for the minor premiership, according to Matty Duncan.
Playoffs? Don't talk about playoffs. You kidding me? Playoffs? I just hope we can win a game.
Look at the moustache on this ref, Wazza.
Is it the French guy? We're currently watching 1990 Kangaroos Tour.
I'm
not sure what his name was, Matt. I can't remember, but maybe that should have been a question. What's the name of the referee?
He looks like
he's
from Fawlty Towers.
It'd be the Frenchman.
Okay.
Independent ref in those days,
that's right, they did too.
But at the moment, nil all score, Australia and the Great Britain side.
You know what's disappointing?
Yes, mate.
You can still see the marks from the soccer field on the
ground. That you can.
That's disappointing.
All right, Dave. Well, mate, take us through what happened in round number 18. Start with Friday night, mate, and you have the floor, so... here we go, everybody. The round 18 review on Not the Footy Show. Dave, kick us off.
Friday night started with the Warriors taking on the Gold Coast Titans, and the Titans were despicable as per usual this year. They've just gone further and further into the hole, and they got beaten 22-6 on the night in front of 10,000 fans. Warrior fans, that is. Then the other game on Friday night was the Parramatta Eels versus West Tigers. Tigers went down 22-6.
Easy, Tiger. You don't have to go through all the scores. We go through the games. You know the drill. So, Matt, would you like to speak about how bad the Gold Coast Titans were against the Warriors?
I was going
to
read them off.
No, we're going through the games, mate.
Going through the games. Talking about the Warriors.
It's not like this is this format we've used all year or anything.
We're mixing it up this week.
The Warriors got Matty Rogers back for a game. He racked up his 200th first grade game, and he's gone again. He's broken his foot. Gold Coast, mate, what's going on?
They're a bad football team, Oz. They're very ordinary at this moment. They're lucky they've pulled in some recruits for next season, because it's looking very grim at the moment. They are very, very ordinary. And Warriors played some okay football without being outstanding. Their usual suspects performed. Mateo, Kevin Locke, Michael Luck back, stiffen up the defence. But they were brilliant. The Titans were just very ordinary.
Yeah, they just get the job done. The Warriors snap their own four-game losing streak, and that's loss number 12 for the Titans.
Now, for all of the talk about Ferner and Moore being under the pressure, being under the pump, what do we want to say about Buffett at Gold Coast?
Cartwright. He's not a Buffett. I'll give you a hand signal, all right, and explain why he's safe.
Yeah.
You see that, ladies and gentlemen? That's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, counting number of years he's re-signed for as of next season. He's safe as a house.
But he's doing a terrible job of coaching.
Well, is he doing a terrible job? Or is it the players? I mean, my frustration with the Titans is their style hasn't really changed over the course of the season. And it was pretty evident early on that they just couldn't score points. And Cartwright admitted as much in the press conference on Friday night. Said, we've got a problem scoring points. And you go, on newsflash, Johnny. It's been the case since about round three.
Yeah, but they've got the personnel to be able to play good attacking football.
You would imagine that.
And it's not happening.
It's old legs.
So it comes back to the coach.
Impressive win for the Warriors. Puts them back right amongst the top eight race as well. I think with Newcastle's loss on the Monday, they moved up into sixth spot on differential. Now, the next game saw the Eels beat the Tigers.
22-6, I already said that.
Every man and his dog wants to say that the reason the Tigers are going no good is because of the conjecture about the players moving in and moving out. Did you watch this game, Matt?
I did. It was a knock-on-a-thon.
Mate, if the Tigers had just held the ball after making all their chances, they would have won this game. And everyone would have been saying, oh, good performance by the Tigers, because they created enough opportunities. They just could not finish.
They looked dangerous all night, but yeah, love the knock-on.
Ben Smith, did you know he was this fast?
That was a big effort, wasn't it? Benji Marshall, you'd back him every day of the week with that. Well, it wasn't a start because Smith was coming across on him, but I don't think I've ever seen Benji run down, but what an effort.
Yeah, we've got a comment from Twitter from the NRL punter, and he says, it's always hard to win a game when you've got Steve Michaels in your football side. fair comment.
No love for Michaels.
Just Jared Hayne, the experiment back to Gary Belcher. Look at that moustache running back down the field.
I just saw Martin O'Fire.
Chariots. Jared Hayne goes to 5'8", plays basically first receiver on the left hand side as Parramatta split their halves with Jeff Robson out. I thought it was a success. He probably didn't run the ball enough early on to put the defence in two minds about what he was going to do. But Matt, I was encouraged by what I saw from Hayne.
It looked good for Parramatta. Yeah, they certainly had a bit more spark about them with Hayne there, and Bert, a very good fullback as well. So yeah, the experiment seemed to work, and yeah, if they get it, we've seen what type of team they are. If they get a bit of momentum, they could cause some headaches of some side for the remaining weeks.
Yeah, people want me to point out that maybe Benji's knee wasn't any good, and that's why he couldn't outrun Ben Smith. I'll give him the benefit of the doubt for a couple of weeks, but I do want to see Benji go into the clear and stay in the clear. Wade McKinnon, who butchered about five tries on the night, is not playing this weekend. Apparently it's a rib injury, but he might probably just got dropped.
Is Moulton in for him?
Moulton's in at fullback, the new Dragon, and after we heard Moulton gate last week. Quickly on that, I mean, my frustration, I guess, is that if I'm in charge of the Tigers, I probably am a little bit frustrated that 2 hours before my game, one of our players has been announced that he's going to another club when we hadn't officially released him. I can understand the frustration there. In saying that, they didn't want to keep him, so...
And the deal was done.
Yeah, there's a bit of communication here with the manager and the Dragons that the Tigers didn't know about, but...
Has this happened before? And is there an unspoken rule about it?
It's the timing. I'm sure there's been situations where players are going to go somewhere and they don't announce it 2 hours before the kid's about to play a game. You got 17 minutes.
Yeah, but was that agreed upon by both sides?
Well, no. The Tigers are saying that they didn't actually officially release him.
How can the deal be done if he's not officially released?
Apparently it was a verbal agreement between the player, the player's manager of the Tigers.
Yeah,
saying
well, that's
that,
true. If it's only verbal, then you really
and it hadn't actually been completely released. He was still under contract technically. Okay. So
you fly him up. Remember the Super League days? We flew Anthony Mundina and wished him happy birthday.
Oh no, Chock loved that, didn't he? Yeah, Chock's glory days at the Broncos.
The other thing I want to say about that game is that it was 19,654. That's
I made
a
point
crowd,
on the new Sunday Inquisition article, everybody. Goes out every Sunday night.
The Sunday Inquisition.
You like it, mate?
Big fan.
Yeah, it's a lot of dribble from me, just in point form. So if you get through it, you're a genius. The great thing about Parramatta Stadium, grew up in the area, so you go down and you watch Parramatta play. And the only thing better than a 20,000 strong crowd at Parramatta Stadium is seeing them get beaten by the team that you're going for. And that's always fantastic, watching those Eels get dusted. And it didn't happen on Friday night. Now, Nathan Hindmarsh, we need to bring up, played his 299th first grade game for Parramatta. He will play 300 this week against the Penrith Panthers. And we know what a big fan we are of Nathan Hindmarsh on the show. So a round of applause for the great man, Nathan Hindmarsh. The Eels, they go up into 13th spot. The Tigers, they're in 9th, I believe.
Up into 13th spot.
Jumping up.
Goodness,
massive
man.
Movement for the Eels. Now, next game day, you can say the score and your thoughts on the game, mate. That's how it works.
Toyota Stadium, Saturday night. Cronulla versus Canberra. Cronulla came out on top, 26-12. Cronulla's starting to get quite a good roll on.
Four in a row.
Starting to play well and apparently off the back of the new halfback. What's his name?
Chad Townsend.
Townsend, that's the fella.
Got a chance. We said a couple of weeks ago, go chance, and he's taken it with both hands, and Albert Kelly's broken leg is keeping him out of the lineup. And I can't see Albert Kelly getting back into first grade within a starting spot, Matt, in the next, well, anywhere in the rest of the year.
No, not on how the other players are playing. No, he'll struggle to crack back into that side.
Yeah, now, Dave, the Raiders, no possession really in the first half because they kept dropping it, gifted a couple of tries to the Sharks. Second half, Canberra never really threatened, and 26-12 was your final score. Paul Gallen had his first break, basically, of 2011, coming off with a bit of a stinger in the shoulder. They've admitted that he needs a break, but he's, I think, got off training till Friday before this next game, and he'll be fine to play Monday night against the Dragons. But the win puts the Sharkies up to where, Dave? Now, up to 10th.
Up to 10th.
which is a fair effort for the Sharkies. Given that before this little streak, I think they were 3-9. So congratulations to them.
Yeah. The other thing to say about Townsend, he's kicking for them as well. So he's, you know, extra value there for, Chad Townsend.
Absolutely. Wade Graham picked up all 8 points in the NRL Player of the Year awards, and Sean Fenson, the kid he can play. Now the Papaya King, Josh Papali. Sorry, mate.
Wade Graham.
Yeah.
Out of Origin player. Your thoughts?
That's July. The series just finished. It's a long time till the next series starts. We'll wait till then before we evaluate whether he's anywhere near it. And Gary Schofield just made a break up the left wing, everybody. he's a talent. I know Penrith didn't want to lose him. And I know Gould is not happy that Penrith lost him before he came on board. But Origin, there's a kid called Todd Carney that I would be giving a run before I gave it to Wade Graham. That's just me. Now, Adelaide got a taste of rugby league. The Storm, 28 points to 18 over the Bulldogs. Bulldogs probably had a bit more of a go in this match, but they're just not good enough to beat a team that's got the likes of Smith and Cronk and Slater.
Typical Storm.
And that's your story of the
typical
game.
Typical Dogs. And that's about it.
That's all you need to say. Matt, did you watch this one?
Yeah, I really think Dave summed it up. It was a typical Storm performance and a typical Bulldogs performance, and that's how it ended up. Yeah, Storm just go through the motions, and the Bulldogs are a fairly average football team at the moment.
After the game, Kevin Moore had some interesting words to say to some of the journalists who kept asking him about, did he feel under pressure, you know, another loss and all that kind of stuff. And I've mentioned it with Maurice Cialis later on in the show, but basically, he said that he likes only dealing with the decent journos now. He said, I've given respect to you all at the start of the year. If you treat me like this, I'm not going to talk to you. So, good luck to him. He's under obviously a fair bit of pressure out there at the Bulldogs, and you know it's going to be, the Dogs did play a little bit more attacking, but not quite enough to get the Bickies. Cooper Cronk, double set up another try. He's a fair footballer, young Cooper. Now, question number two in Not the Footy Show's quiz time.
Oh,
I'm throwing it in right here, everybody. If you're following us on Ustream, you can send us a message and answer if you would like. Ozzy Trent would like us to just mention that although he got a groin injury on the weekend, the Papaya King, Josh Papali, did his groin the tough nut, and he had to come off with about 15 minutes left in that game, and Bronson Harrison's finally got his spot back in first grade. But that's not the question. In 1993, Brisbane opened up QE2 Stadium, which became ANZ Stadium, the alternate venue up there in Brisbane. In round three, who did they play? What was the score? They're the first two parts of it, okay? So see if you can answer that question.
Oh, they played Parramatta and they beat us.
Ooh, that's good enough for me.
Well done.
If you know out there, people, what the score was, I'll let it sit there. But he's right, they did beat it. And this is a team with every superstar under the sun. They'd won the competition the year before. It was their opening of their brand new stadium. There was 50,000 people there. And Parramatta, led by the likes of Stu Galbraith, they went out there and they beat the Broncos. Now, here's the sub-question.
Because this was back in the days when Parramatta were Cellar dwellers.
Well, mate, that's part of... Now, there's another question coming up after that.
Okay.
In relation to that. Now, I want to know what current NRL coach and what former Sydney club CEO played for Parramatta on that day?
Hang on, you're going to have to repeat that.
What current NRL coach...
Yeah.
And what former, relatively famous in that you'd know who he was...
Two different people. Okay.
Was a former Sydney club CEO for a very short time. That's what makes him somewhat famous. He also played for, I'll give you a clue, played for the Panthers, East, and the Bulldogs as well as Parramatta, this CEO. And the other player was a current NRL coach. Both at Parramatta.
Current NRL coach.
Mate, you threw this at me last time and I'm throwing it right back. I'm just going to enjoy a biscuit while talk. So, Dave, just theorise. Parramatta, go through their great players. Scott Mahon. Michael Erickson.
Oh, that's Scotty Mahon.
They didn't have any good players at that stage.
Sorry, mate.
No Danny Krankovic that day.
No, he was done by the end of the year. So was Duncan DeCellis. It's a good bicky. Dave, go on talk.
Well, I didn't.
We'll go through your coaches.
Ivan Cleary.
No.
No.
I don't know.
No.
Bondi Crewster has gone to Google and he's said that it's 12 points to 8 Parramatta. On that. Remember, everybody, we don't want Google here. We don't want Google.
No, that's it.
But you can't just assume that Bondi Cruiser is...
ANZ ran out of hot chips that day on their first day.
Oh, they did. Oh, there you go, everybody. The stuff you learn.
Do you know what happened at the ANZ Stadium in Sydney? They ran out of hot dogs. Remember that on their first go around? They ran out of hot dogs.
I don't remember that.
Okay. There was a double header. Dragons played...
Oh, way back when.
Yeah, like 99. Dragons played...
Oh, no, I was overseas, man. I was in another country.
Yeah, right.
Overseas.
That's Dragons like playing power, I think.
Okay, so I'll give you the current coach. I'll give you another clue. Actually, no, you can just figure it out. The CEO, which is a bit more tougher one, as I said, he played for Eastern Suburbs, he played for Parramatta, he played for the Bulldogs, won a premiership with the Bulldogs, and he played for Penrith.
And then he was
the
CEO
of the club for like about 6 months, but I don't think he was the CEO of the club at all. This is just testing my memory. I might have been wrong. He might have been for a little bit for a while. But the club, he walked out on the club after being CEO for just a short period of time because he didn't see eye to eye with the people that were running it. Even though he'd signed a deal 6 months prior saying that he was really looking forward to taking over the challenge and the rest of it.
Give us a clue on like around about what era.
Sorry, mate.
Paul Dunn.
Ding, 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 ding. Oh. He took over South, I think, when they came back into the competition. Did he go before the start of the season, Matt?
I think so, was.
Yeah.
I'm not 100%.
Wasn't happy with how the club was going to be run. They obviously fought really hard to get back into the competition, and then he wasn't cheering about, I think, some of the cost-cutting and whatnot that went on. So he was the player. He played prop for Parramatta that day. Now, I'll give you another clue about the other player. Actually, no, we'll come back to that question. I'll move on to the next game.
Current
NRL coach. Played in that game.
George
the only Jones. One I can't remember him playing, but the only player I think it could be, I've just... run through the coaches in my head would be Flanagan.
Correct. He played hooker that day. Shane Flanagan for Parramatta in 1993. So there's the questions. If you're not sure, why we come up with questions like that, Matt gave me a beauty a couple of weeks ago on this very live show, and he said there was two players that played in the same team. Was it in the 1997?
The coach NRL
in 1997 in the ARL for Western Suburbs against South Queensland. It was a good question. Okay, moving on to the next game on the schedule, we saw the Sydney Roosters finally put their attack together and won 34 points to 26 over the Penrith Panthers, and I was really worried about the Panthers here because after 15 minutes I declared them. I said there's no way they're going to lose this game, and it was all the Roosters after that. How'd you see it, Matt?
Yeah, we said that the Roosters would have to come good eventually, and well, they did, so maybe... I don't know. It wasn't much of a game, really.
Yeah, I'm agreeing with that. It was pretty average rugby league. Todd Carney did some nice things to suggest that maybe he could start turning the corner with his form. And Phil Graham.
I was about to say one of my old favourites went well.
He was outstanding at fullback. Got dudded on one of the try that he probably should have been given by the video ref, which was interesting. The video ref apparently could make a call that the play ball wasn't correct, but somehow give a penalty, but it wasn't a try. I didn't understand it. I think Gary Belcher put it very well, where he goes, "I don't understand ref speak," when they try to explain to him. That was how Gary Belcher, who's on the TV right now, Oh, there's Johnny Cartwright, Mark Sargent, Benny Elias. Oh, love it. Stewart, away to Langer. No, Lyons is playing that game, actually.
That was a terrible pass.
But, yeah, so the Panthers, just an average performance by them. They admitted in the press conference afterwards that they probably took the Roosters a little bit lightly, and the Roosters got away with the Bickies. And where does that put them up to, Dave, on that ladder?
The Roosters?
They stay in 15th position.
Yeah, second last.
Because the Titans are even worse. Now, the next game on the schedule was a pretty entertaining game of footy, I thought.
This was a good game, yeah.
Seagulls and Rabbitohs, final score 36-22, but the Seagulls led 18 points to 4, then they trailed 22-18,
yeah.
And then Kieran Foran steps up. And this kid, we love him. Don't know if we want to buff him, but we love him. He's a great player to watch because he is an old school 5'8", takes the ball to the line, knows how to run, knows how to pass. It was beautiful watching him score those two tries. Dave.
For the rookie special, you asked the question, who's going to be the superstar of the future of all those rookies? And we all said Cherry Evans. But he's not going to be, because he's going to be...
Second fiddle to four, and he wasn't a rookie, but yeah.
He's not going to be second fiddle, but they're going to take each other's limelight, and they're going to be, the next Jordan Daly, I don't know.
More than possible. What were your thoughts on that? Just that little 15-minute period by Foran, mate.
Oh, very classy, wasn't he? You know, we mentioned about Luke Lewis a couple of weeks ago, but this kid is a footballer. You know, he's got a real footy brain about him, and it was a very mature performance for him.
Yeah, it was an outstanding display. Now we opened the podcast, and obviously live, you're not going to hear it. Opened the podcast with the audio of Phil Gould explaining why Kieran Foran is a gun. So if you're listening to us live,
when
make sure
you say that when.
After that second try,
right.
He was talking about positioning Stewart and the rest of it. It's just an insight into why Phil Gould is just such a mastermind and how he understands the game, because what you don't see, he saw. And then after that, Andrew Johns piped up with another observation from that very same play. It just shows you what the great people, great players and great coaches see that we don't. So that opened the podcast. So if you're listening to the podcast now, then you would have heard it already. But if you're listening to us live, make sure you grab the podcast tomorrow off iTunes. Now, Dave, the next game was the Monday night. Oh, we should probably say that there was one massive error in the South Sydney Manly game. How Nathan Merritt was deemed to actually have been off the ground when he knocked that ball back is anyone's guess. How the heck was that decision decided? Matt, I'm flabbergasted.
Oh, they've just tossed the coin, obviously, and the...
It happens.
And said, well, we'll give it a try.
Unbelievable. I don't understand how something like that can happen when we look at all those replays. The only thing I can maybe give Tim Mander the benefit of the doubt with, I can't, but is that the shadows on the ground made it harder to see whether his foot was down. But it was obvious. His hand was like this. If you're watching on the thing, everybody, there's my footy. There. You know, his hand's like that, and his foot's on the ground, and then it went off like that into Dave's face.
Who was the video ref? Mander, wasn't
it? Tim Mander. Apparently, now the bigger issue is that he laughed afterwards.
He's going to cop running for politics up here.
He is,
mate. Other things on his mind.
He does. So that was the final score. South Sydney, fairly gallant in terms of getting themselves back in the game. And we saw a bit of brilliance from Greg Inglis as well when he stood up Georgie Rose and Glenn Stewart. That was something special to watch. But they've just got to get in ball more. They're out there at...
And Inglis has got to do that more
South
often.
Sydney out. Reece Wesser was carrying an injury. Played about 15, 20 minutes.
He did all right.
Greg Inglis to fullback Johnny Lang. Do it. Just get him involved. What have you got to lose?
Not the worst idea I've ever heard.
It's a great idea.
Oh, there you go, ladies and gentlemen. Great idea, apparently. But if they've got 8 rounds left in the season, they're probably going to struggle to really push over the line for the finals. Just have a crack. Inglis to fullback, Johnny Lang. The final game of the weekend was a monumental upset if you follow the betting markets. Because I believe when we chatted last Wednesday, the news had just come out that
JT was out.
It was the after Origin. And I think the Cowboys went from like... two something to $4. The Knights just went in massively. People just unloaded on them. Had them in multis all over the weekend. I know one punter on Twitter had him in a multi. Knights to collect deluxe. And the Cowboys won. What was the final score? 22 points to 12.
Yeah.
Dave?
Well, the reason why everyone bet on Newcastle to win is because I'm sure there's a statistic somewhere along the way that the amount of times that North Queensland have lost or have won without JT is just close to zero. They never win without JT there. But
they were a level, like they were just a level above. I mean, Wayne Pearce is the king of saying that enthusiasm wins games, but this one in time he might have been right, because Knights just turned up and thought they were going to win, and you could see them just going through. Their best player on the night by a bit of a distance was Kirk Gilley, and he went off with a hammy, the Harry hamstring, just a week too late. Hurt himself again, and he went off, and then that was all over for him. And James Segayaro, the youngster, the young hooker, was outstanding. Fee-fi-fo-fum was fantastic. His work rate in the first 60 minutes was unbelievable.
Fee-fi-fo-fum, fee-fi-fo-fum, fee-hi-ho-hum.
And Matty Bowen and Matty Scott, the two leaders of that team, just stepped up, and Matty Bowen's kicking game, I think, was the most impressive thing about that performance.
Matty Bowen's kicking game was brilliant. that was really good to see, and it's so good to see Bowen back in the form that, you know, we come to know and love from him. And of course, you know, he's had an injury-ridden couple of years, but back and playing as good as ever, and you know, That was just some brilliant kicking in general play, and his goal kicking as well was pretty good.
It was spot on. Matty Bowen, an outstanding performance from young Mango, and he's actually off contract at the end of the year, apparently, but he wants to stay in North Queensland. But I tell you what, if you had a bit of money to spend, I'd be throwing it at young Mango.
Yeah, if you could lure him away from the north, I think he likes the Townsville lifestyle. I don't know if you'd get him anywhere else, but he's back in a bit of form. But that was a very un-Knights-like performance, like I've said for the last couple of months. They always play with a lot of enthusiasm, and it just wasn't there Monday night.
Yeah, in the end, the score was 22 points to 12. It keeps the Cowboys well and truly in that top four race. They've got a 6-point gap, them and the Broncos, to the Warriors and Knights. On the ladder, the Storm are up out in front on 30 points. Seagulls 28, Dragons 27. As we said, you can pretty much forget the rest in terms of actually doing anything in the competition. But the top eight is actually still well and truly open, because the Panthers are in 8th spot on 18 points. They're only 4 points clear of the Roosters in 15th on 14 points. Slight difference in differential of about 100 points. But, you know, it's not that big a deal
now. Only 2 wins.
The NRL 2 Player of the Year Award, the votes go silent this weekend. They've gone silent. As in, this is the last time you'll hear the leaderboard, everybody. Jonathan Thurston, who will miss the next 4 to 5 weeks, is out in front on 60 points. But Paul Gallen is closing in big time. He's on 51. And Cooper Cronk has made a charge. He scored 22 points in 4 weeks. He's gone to 41 points. Benji Marshall hasn't scored for a while. He's on 40. With Cameron Smith, Dave Taylor, Jared Mullen, Matty Bowen, Sando, and the Cat Gaznia on 30 points. Dave loves it when I call Mark Gasny the Cat. So everyone can see your reaction. You know that, don't you?
Yeah, I know.
Just by staying silent, it's good for the podcast, but everyone's seeing it live, mate.
Well, I'm not going to smile when you say that.
Yes.
I suppose I did just then, didn't I?
You did, mate. It's fantastic. So if you want to check out where everybody is at the end of round 18, check out wdnicholson.com. There's a whole review of the round. Now, special fried rice. I got the Seagulls. Matty got the Storm. Nick got the Warriors. Dave, what happened to the Knights? You declared them.
Well, they should have won without JT. North Queensland without JT.
You mean Newcastle should have won with it, yes.
Yeah, this is what I'm saying. Newcastle should have won.
Matt, you're out on 14 from 18. Nick's on 14 from 18. Dave's 12 from 18. I'm batting at 500. I'm 9 for 18. After the break on Not the Footy Show, we will look at a couple of things that need to be discussed, and that's Friday Night Football in New South Wales on Friday night. A bit more about the Sunday Inquisition, and probably a big topic that I think we need to look at is the signings for 2012 and this little thing called the NRL Survey. And we'll have a look at that after the break on Not the Footy Show.
Not the Footy Show.
Well, you can say that if you like, yeah. Obviously, I knew people would say the first thing, but our preparation was great. The boys were happy with what we were doing. There's no issues from the point of view within the group between themselves. We're not talking about players unhappy with each other here. So players are leaving every club. So I'll admit it's not the best thing in respect to a mid-season issue. But I can tell you now, there's no way anyone in this group should or can use that as an excuse.
Bananas.
Look, when you throw a poor pass on the last option without even looking, you can't start talking about, oh, that's an issue with the club. That's an issue with you personally. Each player's got to take some responsibility, particularly the key players in the side. Last play options come down to what you do with the football in your hand. Okay? Why is some of the key players leaving? Some of the the ball players or the key players leaving the club, and there was more mistakes from them than there was from anyone else.
It's some of
your
best mates.
Oh, come on, please.
No, I'm not saying it's a problem.
What are they being executed and being cut without getting contracts or being paid? It's a professional game. Don't give me that. Well, they're losing them, are they? They're going across the road, you know, yeah. Don't.
I'm not saying that to you. I'm saying that's what people are saying. You've been around the game a long time. You know this stuff happens when, you know, these sort of things get thrown about when you're losing footy games. And it's happening at a time when
we're losing football games, and you're going to blame that. I refuse to blame that, and I don't want the players to blame that either. We've got to look internally at ourselves about our performance, our preparation, and our execution. Right? That's it. If we were playing that poor, we would have had 80 put past us in the last 3 weeks. Has that happened?
No.
No? Well, thank you. We haven't attacked the foot. We've defended our backsides off against a number of issues. As I said, we were jiu-jitsu'd out of the game the last two games prior to this, and the referees then put out an edict that we're going to clean the ruck up more. After 2 weeks of it, and said I need to go to every club to sort it out, you know. So, you know, our issues are we have to control the football and control our field position. It is
not the footy show. Sure.
G'day, everybody. This is Isaac Tips, Uncle Egg. What round are we up to?
Round number 19. Can you count to 19?
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19. 20!
Yes, very good! Hey, he's very clever here. Mate, you're on holidays from school, so you know a bit more time to have a look at the tips, and you might need to because you got one tip from 7 right last week.
I'm kicking your butt.
No, let me repeat. You got one tip right from 7 tips, mate. So you got 6 wrong.
Oh, no.
So guess what I did?
What?
I kicked your butt.
Ah, no.
Anyway,
I'm going to kick my butt.
Round number... I would never do that. round number 19. On Friday night, mate, the Warriors play the Bulldogs.
Bulldogs.
And then the Broncos play the Titans.
Titans.
The Rabbitohs play the Roosters.
I'll go away from Rabbitohs, Roosters.
Ooh, first time in a while. Panthers versus Eels?
Panthers.
Cowboys versus Tigers?
Tigers.
Then on Sunday, we've got the
Knights.
Raiders against the Storm.
Yeah,
that's the next game, Ice. That's the next game. Raiders versus the Storm?
Raiders.
We've got the Knights versus the Sea Eagles.
Knights.
And finally, on Monday night, the Dragons play the Sharks. You know, the Sharks have won 4 games in a row.
2 Sharks.
It's amazing. It's incredible.
Yes,
you think they're going to beat the Dragons, though?
Yep.
The Dragons we're talking about?
Yep.
You sure?
How many have the Dragons done?
They've won, like, 15 games.
Dragons, I'm sorry, Sharkies.
So, as we let you go with one question, mate. Big Mal Meninga, he's been whinging deluxe up there in Queensland because those Maroons beat the Cockroaches. What have you got to say to Big Mal?
Who's Big Mal?
Throw me a frickin' bone here. I'm the boss. Need the info.
So episode 73 of the Footy Show, it continues, and the woman, Maria Cialis, who Kevin Moore described as one of the decent ones when it comes to journalists, is on the line talking all about Big League and her tips for round 19, rivalry round. Maria, Kevin Moore had some nice words to say about you.
Pulling my chain,
eh? No, he said he was interviewed in Adelaide after the game, and they were pressing on about how he was under pressure to have, be coach at the Bulldogs. And he said, "Look, I treat all journalists with respect at the start of the season, but the ones who continue to respect me throughout the season, they're the ones that are the decent ones, and I'm sure that you come under that banner."
Oh, definitely. I have a lot of respect, and also I work for Big League, so everybody likes us because we're nice.
Fantastic. But yeah, a lot of pressure on Kevin Moore in the press conference. It was an interesting watch. If you want to watch those press conferences, just head over to wdnicholson.com and you can find them. Maria, your Bulldogs couldn't quite get the job done on Saturday against the Storm, but, you know, were there some signs there? Do you think that maybe this week they can put up a better performance against the Warriors?
I mean, I've been thinking that for a few weeks now. And the shame of it all is it's really themselves that that are letting themselves down. That doesn't even make sense. But they were in that game. They only lost by 10 points, and they had some opportunities. But, yeah, you know, the knock-ons and the four passes and the, oh, God, they drive me crazy.
Yeah, and it was interesting hearing Craig Bellamy after the game say that, look, we had to test out Benny Barber. We'd seen him drop the ones the week before, and the plan was to bomb the life out of him and Jonathan Wright. And, you know, I think, as we said, Benny Barber will bounce back from that. But, you know, they're going to, other teams are going to target that aspect of the game.
Absolutely. And I find the funny part of it all is that nobody tried this earlier.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, I think that would have been a natural sort of, you know, new fullback, just bomb him. But nobody has. And I think he'll definitely bounce back. I mean, the good part about it is once he gets that confidence back, people bombing him and him catching it on the full can only make good things because he's made more line breaks than anyone. So
yeah, and scored more tries. And he was, again, dangerous. Yeah. You know, a couple of ones where he maybe should have caught the ball, but he's still dangerous when he gets the ball. Benny Barber scored off a kick return. I mean, the kid can play. We're not doubting that at all. Only 10,000 people turned up to Adelaide, but I guess it rained pretty much that whole afternoon leading to the match, which was disappointing. But there were a couple of crowds over the course of the weekend that gives you the indication that maybe we're out of that long, boring aspect of Origin period where the club games sort of go on the back burner. We had 20,000 at Parrish Stadium on Friday night, another 20,000 at Brookvale Oval on Sunday, and I'm pretty sure it was a pretty good crowd at Ausgrid on Monday night. Do you think the fans are going to start coming back, Maria?
I think for the teams that look like they couldn't make the eight, they will. But I was at the Sydney Football Stadium on Sunday.
Yeah.
And let me tell you, there weren't that many people there.
9,713. Take away how many you thought were actually there.
I was guessing around the 8,000 mark, to be honest.
Okay.
But good on them for turning up, because the Roosters have been woeful. So
yeah, and they, Todd Carney showed some of that form that won in the NRL Tweet Player of the Year last year. He was pretty handy in that performance. And the Panthers, I was really disappointed. They looked well on top after 15 minutes, and then all of a sudden, the moment you had that thought, they just got run over.
Yeah, it was. And St. Dallas made a fair point. I think they probably thought it was going to be an easy afternoon after they scored that first try, and I think maybe they just dropped off a little bit, which is a shame, because they actually have a good chance to make the eight, surprisingly.
Exactly.
Busy game against Parra.
And I tell you what helps them is the fact that Travis Burns cannot miss a goal. I've gone back into the stats. This year alone, he's kicked 21 from 21, okay, conversions. He's closing in on Hazem. Now, there's a chance he might be as high as 27 from 27, because I went to the Rugby League Project website, and he kicked 6 from 7 in his last kicking performance before this year, when he played for Manly in 2006. So there's a chance that he may have kicked 26 from 27 or 27 from 27 at that stage, but at least 21 from 21 this year. Do you reckon he's any chance at breaking Hazem's record?
I hope not.
He doesn't look like missing.
Really well. I think the lucky part for him is a lot of their tries were scored right under the post, which is handy.
But I guess you can only kick the ones that people put in front of you. So it's a pretty impressive effort from Travis Burns. I didn't know he had
this
in him, to be honest. Look, we're going to have a look at rivalry round. It's round 19 of the NRL. Obviously, the press now is that, you know, we're coming into the glory bound rounds and the like. This week we've got Warriors, Bulldogs, Broncos, Titans. I'll stop myself here. Warriors, Bulldogs. I'm just asking, where's the rivalry there?
I think in the early 2000s, maybe there were some minor rival type situations.
Ah, that's good enough. That's good enough. That's fine. We'll put that in. Broncos, yep. Titans, obviously geographically. Rabbitohs, Roosters. They've got a bit of a history, I imagine.
Oh, a little bit. Yeah.
Yep. 2005 Grand Final sees the Cowboys and Tigers play. Then the Panthers Eels, the Battle of the Golden West, as they say. Then we get to another beauty. This one I can't wait for. Raiders versus Storm in Canberra.
Massive. No, seriously, where is the rivalry? Do you know?
I imagine that it's something to do with it's cold in both places. They have been pushing this particular rivalry when it comes to rivalry round for the last 4 or 5 years. Cannot see where it is. I don't know. Maybe because Craig Bellamy played reserve grade when... I don't know. Something like that. There's it's hard to find. It's one of those ones where they just throw the last two into a mix. And the really disappointing thing... I mean, people know that I'm a Canberra fan, but... I mean, I'll look at it fairly objectively, but there are a few rivalries that Canberra have that you could try and cultivate. I mean, the big one... I mean, the last two games are Knights Seagulls, obviously, 97 Grand Final, and Dragon Sharks, Battle of the Shires down there. But the one that doesn't make sense to me is you've got Warriors Bulldogs in one group, and then you got Raiders and Storm in the other. Now, Forgive me, but I'm pretty sure that Canberra and Canterbury played in a grand final in the last sort of 17 years, back in 94, so you can play that as a rivalry, for sure. And the year after that, Terry Lamb inspired the Bulldogs to get one back on the Raiders, who had only lost two games in 95 and beat them in the semi-final, so there's a bit of rivalry there. Then you've got Warriors and Storm, who play for a annual trophy, the Michael Moore Memorial Trophy. Why don't they just put those two teams together like that? How hard is it to come up with that combination?
Look, I don't know. My theory is, I think lime green and purple look really good together. it's just a colour thing, really.
Okay, so it's like a Calippo-thon or something like that, I don't know. Those Zappo ice blocks. Look, it doesn't make a lot of sense, but having said that, there are some pretty good matchups this weekend, so I'm not all negative. I think they've done well to match a lot, but when you've got those four teams and you actually have a combination that could actually have sort of some sort of history, that would make sense. We're going to get your tips first, and then we'll go to what's in big league. So, keeping with the teams, Warriors and Bulldogs on Friday night.
Bulldogs. They're not actually going to win, so tip the Warriors.
Well, hang on, what?
What?
You are tipping the Warriors?
No, no. Everybody else should tip the Warriors.
Sorry.
I'm tipping the Bulldogs.
I thought the Earth had moved. Broncos and Titans?
Broncos.
Okay, Broncos for you. Rabbitohs and Roosters at ANZ.
I think it's a really difficult one, to be honest. Carney and Pierce looked really good last week. I'll just go with the Roosters for fun.
Okay, we've got the Cowboys and Tigers.
That's tough too. I think the Cowboys might get up.
Yeah, they've got a lot of players back, but obviously still no JT. But Tariq Sims, Brent Tate's back. And that's pretty good additions to a squad. Panthers and Eels at Centrebet.
I'm going to go for the Eels. I think they'll win because it's Hindy's 300th.
Yes, there's been a pretty half-decent hashtag out there on Twitter today. Hindy cracks 3,000, I think, is what they're looking for as the hashtag. If you're on Twitter, you'll know what we're talking about. Raiders and Storm, the massive, you know, grudge match.
Storm.
Yep. Knights and Seagulls on Sunday.
The Seagulls.
Yes. The Knights really missed an opportunity on Monday night.
Really,
make people really think there are any sort of chance at doing anything this year. And the Dragons and the Sharks, this is Monday, a rematch of that massive round two upset earlier in the year.
I really, really want the Sharks to win five in a row. So I'm just going to go for the Sharks.
Oi! Hello, Australia.
Yeah.
It's a share one from DC Chapman. That's a bit of a left field call. But they were very good on Saturday night. They beat the Raiders. I know we both picked the Raiders, but man of possession, and they turned it into points. Congratulations to them. All right, we're going to get to you to tell us what's in big league in round 19.
Devin Middleton has put together a really good rivalry round feature for us, which is detailing the best games that each of the rivalry clubs have had against each other throughout history. Yeah, so it's a really interesting read. We've got a Q&A with Gordon Tallis, who's always just great. And I've done a story on Sam Williams, who's a very, very nice young lad. Yeah, and he reminds me, I was talking to him and I was just thinking, Alan Tong of the future, that's what he reminds me of.
Okay, yep. He's a talented young halfback there at the Raiders.
Definitely. And there's also a story on Luke Walsh, who, if I never see kick a bomb again, I will be very happy.
He's pretty good at that, isn't he?
It is frustrating when you are on the end of it.
Indeed. That was, the game before. I'm putting the pieces together now, Bulldogs versus Panthers a couple of weeks ago. Now, Big League is available to all news agencies at the game, $4.95. It's worth picking up, and you can read more of Maria's fine work in there. Maria, it's been relatively short, but I think we've really got to the bottom of this rivalry round with the Warriors and Bulldogs and Raiders Storm, and hopefully we see two games from those teams in the weekend that, you know, convinces us that the NRL is onto something.
Definitely. And if not, just enjoy the colours. It's nice.
Yeah, purple and green, you know, should never be seen or something. I don't know, one of those two. Anyway, Maria, thanks for being on the show, and we'll speak to you next week on Not the Footy Show.
Thanks a lot. Talk to you later.
Hi, I'm Dane Tills, Health Ambassador for the Canberra Raiders. The Canberra Raiders are proud to be associated with Avocados Australia to promote healthy eating. The Green Machine. Today I'm going to be making for you the Green Machine zucchini and avocado fritters. For that you'll need one egg lightly whisked, half a cup of self-raising flour, two green zucchinis grated, one avocado peeled and chopped, 100 grams of shaved ham. Okay, so for our Green Machine avocado and zucchini fritters, you're looking at about 5 minutes preparation time and then 15 minutes cooking time. So what we're going to do is we're just going to combine four of the main ingredients. We've got the zucchini here, just into a large mixing bowl, half the avocado to start with, and then you'll just your flour. And then we just got the egg just to bring it all together and just give it a nice big mix. I'll whisk the egg beforehand. So, a little bit of salt and pepper to season. And away we go, a bit of a mix. Okay, we're over here at the hot plate now. Always be careful when you're around the stove. This is really easy to do. What we do is just give it a bit of a spray, just a bit of oil to grease the pan. And then all we're gonna do is spoon in a few big scoops in the middle here. And that's about the size of your fritter that you want. Just give it a pat it down a little bit. You want it on a low heat, and it should come together quite well. So after a few minutes, it should be right to turn, so we'll flip it over and give the other side a bit of a go. You're only looking at about 3 minutes each side on a medium heat should be fine. Okay guys, once you're done, make sure you got the heat turned off for safety, and just bring it over. Pop you straight on your plate there. And what we're going to do, just to finish off, just got a bit of ham on top and the avocado, just to finish. And there you go. There's your Green Machine zucchini and avocado fritters. So if you want to train like a raider, make sure you get some of these avocado and zucchini fritters into you. And to vote online, just get to www.avocado.org.au/iHeartFooty. Thank you. All NRL clubs will be doing this, but it would be great if you go online and vote for ours, the Green Machine zucchini and avocado fritters.
Not the footy show. Show.
Welcome back to Not the Footy Show. We've got Matty Duncan online from Queensland, sandwiched in amongst 1,000 guests. Well, three. And we're going to talk about the NRL fan survey. It went up on wdnicholson.com just the other day. Now, Matty, you are a massive fan of wdnicholson.com. I don't know why, but you seem to be.
It's my homepage, was.
Oh, good man, good man. Mate, I sent this to you for a bit of a look-see before I put it up online. There's 13 questions for people to answer about just different topics within the game. We're going to go through each question and just give you an idea of what's in it. If you're listening to the podcast or watching live and you haven't checked it out yet, we're just going to give you an idea of what the questions are. We just want honesty.
Are we going to talk about it?
But we'll talk about it in depth next week when we've got all the reactions. And the results and the percentages and saying how people think that. Mate, we'll have a little bit of a chat about it here, just suppress all the good gold, okay? You got to save the gold for next week.
Save it up, Dave.
Because Dave will be back here next week. Okay, first question, everyone should get right. Dave, what's that one?
Who's your team? Who do you back?
Actually, no, it's your name, but that's all right.
That's not question number one.
Okay, it's the first option that you have to fill out. If you don't want to answer the questions with your name attached to them, everyone, just write anonymous or anon, and that'll do fine. Okay, that we happily protect your privacy when you bag out people later on in the.
But at the
in
same
the survey.
Time,
yep.
we don't want you know David Stewart Chapman. You could just put down Dave, and that'd be
everyone
fine.
Knows your name now, though.
Yeah, but who cares?
You're ruining the mystique that is DC Chapman. Everyone knows it's DC Chapman. It's not DS Chapman.
Okay.
Anyway, so you put your name down. The first question is, what team do you support? The early percentages is, we've got about 70 responses in about the day and a half, which is pretty good for everybody. So we're hoping that, you know, those numbers really shoot through the roof now we're doing the show. So check over at wdnicholson.com and find the link at the top of the page. Team you support, Dave?
What?
St. George, Manly. Is it St. George or Manly? I'm not sure. You can only choose one option here, mate. Which one is it?
Central Coast Bears.
Okay, there you go. the next question, Matt, you can answer if you want, Matt. I don't mind going through these to a degree. What's the most important position in the game today?
I'm keeping it under wraps.
I love it. For next week. That's how he plays the game. Obviously, every position is there for you to choose.
Everyone knows.
Now, the best player in the game right now is the next question. And this one is linked to, if you had to start a team to win this competition and you had first pick, who would you pick? And there's 20-something players there for you to choose from. a thousand options. I think the best one there that probably shouldn't be there is probably...
That shouldn't be there?
Well, I had to put as many players there that people might actually just because they love the player.
Luke Lewis hasn't...
Oh, Luke Lewis is a gun. Hindy's there. Manu Vardavoy's there. But there's obviously the likes of...
Josh McCrane was on.
No, oh, mate, he almost made it. He's in the top 480,000, but he's not quite in the top 25. The next question was a bit more interesting. Which of the available coaches would be the best fit for your club if they were to make a change right now? Some very interesting responses. We've got guys like Acklin, Brown, Dimmick, Elliott, Fairley, Fittler, Folkes, Georgialis, Hagen, Madison, McLennan, Potter, Murray, Ricky Stewart, and Jason Taylor. I reckon you guys, have a quick guess. Who do you think is the number one person picked right
so
now?
So far?
Right now.
Georgialis.
Wrong.
Brownie.
Wrong. Way off. So way off.
Steve Folkes.
I didn't say anything. Question five. Which is the ideal price for general admission at all games? We've got $5, $10, $15, or $20 plus. It's just a bit of a freebie to the NRL to just show you what people actually would be more happy to pay when they go to a regular season game.
See,
for general
people,
admission.
Everyone's just going to put down $5 just because...
No. The responses have been quite even across the board. I think everyone sort of agrees that, you know, for general admission, it should be pretty cheap.
Because
if you want to spend more money for the prime seats, I'm more than happy to say clubs spent like charge more money for those ones.
Yeah.
But you shouldn't be denying people the chance to go to the game because your general admission is like $28.
A more important question there is how much would you pay for a hot dog and chips?
Well, that's not up to us. That's not up to the NRL. Well, they make their deals with the catering companies, and that's how it goes.
They'd need to because it's ridiculous.
Because this next bit is probably linked to that. The next question is: should kids get into club games for free? And if yes, what's the cutoff? Under 8, under 10, under 12, no, they should pay. There's at least one stingy scumbag out there who said that they should pay out their nose. Yeah, there's a break in the Kangaroo Tour game. I think it's about 6-2 at the moment, Australia over Great Britain. The next question is, how much does pre-match or half-time entertainment mean to you when attending the games, Matthew?
This is one of my big pet hates, but I'll unleash Melbourne Inga style next week.
Look at him, he just knows how to build things up. I particularly like the last option, which is please, for the sake of my sanity, no more
Jessica
Mowboy. Mowboy, Mowboy, whatever her name is. Question 8 is a bit more topical in relation to what we do here on The Footy Show. How would you rate the digital media performance of the NRL, not including your club? Because there's some clubs that
do very well.
Do a good job, yeah. There's other clubs that wouldn't even know what Twitter was. And the NRL as a whole was the question. You know, if you go across their website, across their social media use, and just the general engagement you feel like when you're online, you can answer that. It goes from completely meets my expectations to doesn't blow my mind but does the job, produces the minimum required without adding value, falls below what fans deserve, and the last one, Dave, which is?
Are they even aware digital media exists?
Question 9. Has the Bon Jovi NRL agreement made any impact on people you know who aren't
now,
or weren't big footy fans?
Just explain to the footy lovers exactly what that means, the Bon Jovi NRL agreement. Because I know that he's sung the song. He's got the team, you know, the...
This is our house.
That's the one. But is there any more to it than that? Or is that the only agreement that he's...
Is he coming to the grand final?
Well, apparently no.
No. So what else is the agreement?
The fact that he's...
I'm playing the song in my head, everybody, in case you didn't know.
Well, I think you need to be a bit more specific.
Do you know anybody that has come to like rugby league more or be more interested in rugby league because of Bon Jovi's song?
Well, no.
Okay, well,
that doesn't mean it hasn't happened.
I know, but this is why you got to ask the people. That's why you're asking people on a survey. That's how it works.
Okay, all right.
Question number 10, Dave.
How many teams should play finals in a 16-team competition? Final 5 or top 8? It's a hard one to answer that. Because there's entertainment and then there's fairness.
Yes, so you can answer that online. Question number 11. Given that the top 8
Ferrari
will...
Ferrari be limited by tyres and money and
engines? That's why we talk about rugby league on this show, because I've got no idea about F1. Webber was robbed. Given that the top 8 will remain, do you prefer the McIntyre or current AFL system now?
Can we please find out what the name of that system is and stop calling it the AFL
well,
system?
Well, that's they why I put down the system. The ARL used it in 1995 and they stuffed it up because... The system basically means that after that first week, you should be able to play anyone that you played again in the grand final, okay? So that first week, if you say you played the team coming third, if you were the team coming second, you could play each other again in the grand final. It didn't mean that just because you lost that game, you couldn't play that team again. Back in 1995, we had that situation when Canberra and Brisbane faced off in the 2v3 game. Canberra beat the Broncos, but because of the way the system was worked up, they hadn't looked through it well enough. When the crossover happened, there was no crossover. So if Brisbane had won their games and Canberra won their games after that point, those two teams couldn't have played in the grand final, which was a major stuff-up. The AFL system fixed that up.
Of course they could have.
No, they couldn't.
How?
Because they would stay on the same side, or the opposite side, the same side of the draw, so there's no way they could play each other again.
The grand final.
In the grand final.
They would have had to have meet.
Yeah, again, but they would never be able to play in the grand final. But the system, when you do a quick crossover, means that you can play in the grand final, which is the current system. Now, the next one was a bit more interesting, and that was, if there's a new TV deal, which there is, and Matt, I'll get your feedback on this for 3 seconds, and then you tell me that you'll tell us the answer next week. what's the ideal format if you had to choose, if you were in charge of the NRL? And the big one is, should there be two games on Friday Night Football, Matty?
I like the two Friday night games ones. I guess I'm a bit of a creature of habit, though. So once I get into something, I kind of like the setup. So I like the two Friday nights, and I like my three Saturday night games.
Now, the variations that have been put up on the website, you may be pushing a Saturday 3:30 game. We keep hearing from Ray Warren on the weekend. He said, I need more Sunday games. I need more Sunday afternoon football. But he's only going to ever watch one game a weekend anyway in that setup. The other option is to bring in a Sunday night game at about 6:30. Just on those two guys, what do you think about the opportunity of a 3:30 game or a slightly later game on a Saturday?
Do you know what the answer to this is?
What's the answer, Dave?
The answer is, whichever way, TV is going to give us the most money.
In that case, there'll be no day games. All right, question 13, the final one.
Good, that's what we need.
Do you believe that the public salary cap would make it harder for clubs, players, managers to circumvent current rules? Yes, it can only help, given it works so well in pro sports around the world. Or no, what a crazy suggestion. I have complete confidence in the... I can't use that sentence.
There, Walter.
Sorry?
You've loaded the question up.
Yeah, I know. I was going to say, it's a bit biased there, mate. It's not...
Yes, it is. But do you have complete confidence in the NRL doing the job right now?
Absolutely not.
There you go. So we know what your answer is. Now, that's the quiz, the survey. Get on to wnicholson.com and answer that. Now, there's a spot down the bottom, everyone, for you to be able to put any other issues that you wanted to talk about.
To vent.
And the big one that I think, there's a deliberate reason.
How many characters am I allowed to write?
Oh, some people are wrecking it.
I'm going to have a 12
I had a look at the spreadsheet yesterday, and like I can't read someone's extra responses because someone's put that many words in this little column. The really big one that I left out of the questions, and people have made a comment about this, is expansion. And the reason that I left it out is I want you to have a view on expansion. So use that last little part of it.
You don't want Waz's skewed view.
No, because that'd be wrong. Go down to that last part of the questions and say if you think expansion would work and where it would work. Be specific about what you actually want. Because it's all well and good to say, do you want expansion, Dave? And you say?
Definitely.
But then I say to you, we're going to take five players out of the Dragons. And make it harder for you to be able to defend your title because we need to put players into other comps.
It'd happen slowly.
How would your answer go? Would your answer change a little bit?
No, it wouldn't. Because the bottom line is it'd be that way for every team in the comp.
But would it? And because they're a stronger side and they just pull more players out of it. And that's the reason that I want to hear. That works fantastic. But we'd like to hear
works pretty damn
expansion.
Well.
That's terrible. But they're the questions.
It works
people.
Better than what it worked
We're
in 95.
We're looking for... if we can get into that three-figure plus... not four-figure, but... high into some hundreds area, that'd be great. I was a Star Wars ad for some reason on the 1990 video of the kangaroo tour. We'd like to be able to get to that. So tell people about this survey, enter it in. Matty, I'm sure you've told everybody on everywhere about this survey.
It's going to get a plug on the radio station in the morning.
There you go, ladies and gentlemen. So check out wnicholson.com, and after the break on the footy show, we'll get Matty's tips for round number 19, and maybe, if we've got time, have a look at some signings for 2012.
In the 1994 grand final, I'm not even going to tell you the two teams. You have to figure it out for yourself, even though you know. which was the player that knocked it on from the
Marty
kickoff?
Bella.
Marty Bella. Have I asked that before on this?
I'm pretty sure you have.
Yeah, okay, all right.
Who threw the pass from Mal Meninga to score his try?
To Mal Meninga?
Mal Meninga scored an intercept try in the last try of that grand final.
Marty Bella?
No.
I don't know.
Anyone know that out there who's watching? Do you know the answer to that? Who passed to Mal Meninga to score his try? And who was the player that chased him?
Oh, I can remember chasing
Who was the commentator that again said, "Gay big fella, gay big fella, gay Manly, gay big fella"?
Must have been Fatty Vaughton.
Indeed. All right. Okay, we're back on Not the Footy Show in 3, 2, 1. All right, everybody. This is the last part of Matty Duncan's segment on Not the Footy Show. We're going to get his tips for round number 19. That would be right.
I said 20 before. I got it wrong.
Sorry, mate.
Do I get another quiz?
Oh, you get another quiz question. All righty. In 1996, this is inspired from Tuesday Night Football last night, Parramatta went on a buying spree to name the six internationals. Name the six internationals they signed that off-season. Now, there's...
in 97 was?
This is in 96, sorry.
Yeah, but...
In 95, we had Super League. People signed ARL contracts. People signed Super League contracts. It affected one club in particular. Parramatta swooped on four of these players. See if you can figure it out.
Jason Smith.
Correct.
Jim Dibbick.
Correct.
Dean Pay.
Correct.
Who's the other one? McCracken.
Correct. And well he was the player chasing Mal Meninga in the 94 grand final.
Well done, Matty. I'm impressed.
Now, the next two aren't as easy. One annoys us weekly on TV.
Having a why.
No, one annoys us. One of their players annoys us weekly on TV. Pay TV. Jason Smith, Greg Delaney, you are correct. It was Jason Smith who passed to Mal Meninga in the 94 grand final. Well done, mate. Talk, boys, because this is radio.
Yeah, well, I got no idea, was it? I don't know these. I'm no good at these type of questions.
Okay, he's on Fox Sports. He doesn't commentate games anymore, but he still annoys us.
With.
That's right, Gary Freeman. His final season was with the Parramatta Eels. He signed for 1996. He played for New Zealand, mate, like 20 test matches.
Right. Okay.
Well, I think he played about 46 test matches.
There's a lot. Now, the other one played one match for Australia in 1995. Now, that was as a result of all the Super League players being ineligible for Australia. I think he got on the bench for at least one Origin game. He's on big money. He left a Super League club, obviously, to go sign with the Eels. He was also joined by another player, which I'll give you time to think, who ended up playing his final game of rugby league in 1996 when he got hit in the head by Johnny Lomax at a game I was at Parramatta Stadium.
Oh, that'd be Adam Ritson.
He was one of those kids that everyone just looked at and went, "Wow, he's going to be everything." And they found out he had a tumour on his brain, if I recall, after that head-high shot from John Lomax. Dave can't believe I can remember that stuff.
Oh.
Okay, now it was his teammate from that club that also joined the Eels, who is the sixth player who was an international. Now, if you're going to name any other players who they signed, I'd be really impressed. They weren't internationals, but I'll give you a clue. One was a guy who ended up playing for the Broncos, probably for about six seasons too long after leaving Parramatta.
Stu
Kelly, yep. And he didn't play internationals, but he was another player that Parramatta signed that year. They signed Rod Mabon as well to another deal. Nathan Barnes was on a massive contract from the Newcastle Knights to come down to Parramatta that year. Fawcett, the Workington Town superstar, came down to
Australia.
How come
they all of a sudden had heaps of dosh to start?
It's called Super League, and it's called putting money in from Kerry Packer and the likes. They just went deluxe on players, because Parramatta, after Sterling and Kenny retired, were in all sorts of trouble.
Did it not happen to any other clubs? How come the Dragons...
Manly and Parramatta were the flagships, really, weren't
they? They were, and the Roosters as well, because the Roosters got Brad Fittler.
That's right. Gould.
And Gould, that was the way it was split up between those three clubs.
Did Raper go with Ritson?
Correct. Aaron Raper is the sixth player. He played one international for Australia in 1995. That could have been the rest of the world game, to be perfectly honest.
I think Matty's sitting in front of his computer doing
I'll respect him. No one's,
Matty's Googling for
and
sure.
There's another one. Peter Johnson was another player that rejoined the Parramatta Eels in 96. Now, the next question, before we go into your tips... actually, I'll save it, because I don't have a fifth question, so this will become the fifth.
Come on, get
question.
On with the tips.
All right, tips. Friday night, we have the Warriors up against the Bulldogs at Mount Smart Stadium. The Bulldogs, no one likes at the moment. Matty, how about you?
I don't like them either. Warriors for me.
Warriors, yeah.
Dave has gone with the I was going to put you down for the Bulldogs for some reason. Yeah, I've got the Warriors to beat the Bulldogs as well. The Bulldogs might come good one week, but I just can't see it happening this week. The Warriors were good enough on Friday night. And two Friday night games in a row for the Warriors. For the Warriors. What is going on with that?
Oh, they're due. They're due for some
They probably need about the next 84
coverage.
Games in a row on a Friday night to even it out. But
yeah,
there is an issue here in Sydney.
Hey, they're fun to watch. I like watching the Warriors.
Now, in Sydney, Matt, you don't have this issue because you've got the Titans and the Broncos at 7:30. But, mate, here in Australia, in New South Australia, because now we're a separate your own country now, you've won six straight series. We get to watch the Bulldogs and Warriors on delay at 7:45 with all the ads. And then we get to watch the Broncos and Titans at like 11:45. It's going to be fun here in New South Wales, mate.
Yeah, what's going on there, Woz? Why wouldn't they show the live game live?
Because Channel 9 know that there's that many Warriors and Bulldogs fans. Because, I mean, rivalry round, mate. You know how that big a rivalry it is between the Bulldogs and the...
Say that again, Wozza. Because I didn't hear you right.
Okay.
You're trying to tell me...
I'm telling you.
That the Warriors and Bulldogs game...
is going to be live on delay... at about 7:45.
Yeah, okay. I thought you said 8:45.
No, and then we'll get to watch the other game delayed as well.
Yeah, 9.
So instead of watching...
at least 7:30 game and a 9:30.
Instead of watching the game live at 7:30, which we could, if we watch the Titans and the Broncos, we'll get to watch the Warriors and the Bulldogs, which, if you're in today's day and age, everyone, avoiding scores is extremely hard. I feel for all the Bulldogs and Warriors fans that are going to probably want to find the score out an hour earlier. Yes, I've gone the Warriors as well. I don't think they will have too much trouble with the Bulldogs, who just uninspiring football. That's the long and short about them. Broncos and Titans, speaking of uninspiring football, I think we just go Broncos, don't we, boys?
Yeah, look, Titans will lift for this game. They always do. There'll be a fairly sizable crowd, but the Broncos should still win.
NRL punter would like us to know that Doggies did improve last week. We did mention that earlier. They did, but... not enough, I don't think, to come good. And NRL punter says no live matches at all are free on free to air this week if you are in New South Wales, because obviously the Sunday game is delayed. Titans, they do come up for this kind of game, but it's just hard to see them beating a Broncos side. They'll have all their rep players, have a good week and a half break after Origin. Hodges gets a chance to rest up that hammy. I just can't see him getting beaten.
No, they're not. Next. Broncos are going to win.
Rabbitohs and Roosters at ANZ Stadium on Saturday evening, Dave.
Harder to pick than a broken nose.
Would you like me to test that theory?
No, please. Don't.
Okay.
You know what? Roosters won, so this week they're going to lose. They go back to that theory, because they're one of those teams that aren't doing well. So if they manage to win, they're not going to manage two in a row. So Rabbitohs, on theory.
If Greg Inglis goes to fullback, I'll pick the Rabbitohs. If he stays in the centres... I know this is harder to say before the game actually starts, but if I get win that Inglis is definitely going to play at fullback, I'll stick with the Rabbitohs. Otherwise, the Roosters might get a look in. Matt?
No, I think the Roosters can string two together.
Ooh, there you go. Finally got a victory. Now, the Cowboys and Tigers, this is another toughie because there's no JT still.
No JT.
The Cowboys get Tariq Sims back. They get Brent Tate back. Two pretty big ins for them.
And like you say, Scott, Fifi... there are decent players in that side. It's just a bit, with Bowen and Graham. I don't know what to do.
Grohilo would like to let everybody know that this actually happened. This whole delay situation happened to you guys last week. Is that right, Matt? Did you get the Titans game first?
Yeah, that's right. It did actually. Yeah.
So it's not that big a deal, really, is it?
No.
It's just us whinging New South Welshmen.
Yes.
I'll watch the Friday games on record anyway.
Okay, good man. All right, so Roosters for you. Cowboys and Tigers, I'm going to go with the West Tigers, because I did an upset this week.
If you're going West Tigers, I'll just do the good thing and go for Cowboys.
Yep, I've tipped terribly this year.
The Tigers, aren't they?
It keeps fluctuating a little bit. When I first saw the market, the Tigers were $1.68 or something, and then now on Footy Tab they're plus 0.5, so I don't know how that works, unless somebody just unloaded on the Cowboys when they were outsiders. But I'm going to go with the Tigers.
See, the Tigers won't take the Cowboys lightly because the Cowboys beat Newcastle.
No.
So the Tigers might be able to come
out. It's usually a pretty good track up there in North Queensland, isn't it, as well? So... maybe the Tigers might enjoy that open spaces of North Queensland. I just like the Tigers. You, Matt?
No, I like the Cowboys. I think they'll get a lot of confidence winning that game last week without JT back on their home track. I think they're good value.
And if they're going to get the minor premiership, they've got to keep winning.
That's right.
Okay. Now, Brent Tate comes back, as we mentioned, from a long-term knee injury. Panthers and Eels, another tough one. Do we put enough faith in Jarryd Hayne making a difference at first receiver for the Eels? But now Jeff Robson comes back. So does that mean that Hayne goes back to fullback? These are the questions that need to be answered. And Michael Jennings comes back for the Panthers. Trent Waterhouse in some doubt with
now,
a knee injury.
Who was the fella that played halfback for Parramatta last week?
That was Casey McGuire played halfback, mate.
Then who played 5'8"?
Jarryd Hayne did. You're watching the game, right?
No. Yeah, but then hang on. There was something
Luke
that was happening.
Went to fullback.
No, and come on. There was more than that. Someone was talking to me about it. Okay.
That's what
maybe,
happened.
Yeah, that's, you're right. You're right. I've got myself confused.
So, Panthers, Eels, who do we like, boys?
Oh, this is a tough one. I haven't liked the Eels all year. I'll go the Panthers.
Oh, there you go. Dave?
I like the Panthers. I think they're doing well. But in saying that, Parramatta have been playing well as well, and I don't know. I just, for some reason, I've got a bit of a soft spot for the Panthers at the moment. Don't know why.
Just a little bit.
Yeah, I think I want to see them do well out west under Gould or something like that.
Okay, now Sunday sees the biggest rivalry of the round, the Canberra Raiders up against the Melbourne Storm. Storm by 40, or is that conservative?
Is this a rivalry because they took White from Storm? Is that a rivalry?
Yeah, and because we let them have Craig Bellamy as well. I think that's the other link.
Because the NRL close geographically.
The NRL.com preview, this is word for word, the southern rivalry of the NRL heats up this week. If that is all they are choosing simply because they seem to be relatively geographical, why aren't the Raiders playing the Dragons? That's what I want to know. Because Illawarra were a pretty good rival for us early on,
yeah.
And Canberra have got 1,000 options. I've covered it with Maria Cialis, but essentially what I can't understand is we've got the Raiders and the Storm matched up, we've got the Warriors and the Bulldogs matched up. Canberra played the Bulldogs in 94 in a grand final. The Warriors and the Storm have played for the Michael Moore Cup for the last 8 years. Now, there seem to me, I don't know, half-decent reasons to build a rivalry.
There's a few different ones going around.
For some reason, those are the two games. The rest of the games are pretty good, but these two doesn't make any sense.
Well, what's the Tigers and... Oh, sorry.
2005 grand final. That's all right, mate. That happens.
Yeah.
I'll go on the Storm. I don't think there's any doubt about that, is there, boys?
Yeah. Storm.
Matt? I'll tip the Storm, but not riding off the Raiders upset.
Alrighty. Knights and Seagulls, I think we lose a bit of confidence in the Knights really being a chance in this match after their performance on Monday night, right?
Oh, I think that's the type of game they'll bounce back from.
Ooh. So are you willing to pick them, though?
Yeah, I'm going to. Yeah.
Oh, hey.
Ooh.
There you go. And, Dave?
No, I'm going Seagulls.
You love me.
I've been on them all year.
Alright, that leaves
I don't love them, but...
You do,
yeah.
Dave, I think you do.
Yeah, right. Steve Maddie's back for the Seagulls. Bit of inclusion. Still no Will Hopewade, though. He's still unavailable for them. Shaden Rodney made his comeback from a knee injury last weekend. Some big ins for Newcastle. They've got Neville Costigan back, Ivan Tuimavave, Isaac DeGoy, but no Kirk Gidley, and that is a huge loss for the Knights. Dragons and Sharks. Will the Sharkies make it 2 from 2 for 2011 against the... team that Matty Duncan said wouldn't make the top 8. And Mark Geyer said as well, but, you know, Matty Duncan's the bigger authority.
Well, we've got a similar look, I think. So.
Not according to the photo we show everybody, mate.
No. Look, I'll go for 2 upsets to finish the round. I'll go the Sharks again.
Ooh-hoy.
They're playing well, but they're not playing that well.
Dave,
come on.
I know the Dragons, your love for the Dragons isn't quite as high as it is for Manly, but... you'll go for them here?
But I'm still going for the Dragons here, yeah, that's right.
Okay, so that leaves us with an unfortunate situation that we haven't spoken to Nick yet, which is going to follow this, and he has first pick in fried rice. So, boys, I have to give 2 picks, and this is how it's going to have to work, unfortunately. So
2 picks.
I'm going to go with Manly and Brisbane in some sort of that order. Who's next? Matt, you have to give me 3 teams, Matt.
Okay. Warriors. Who are your two ones?
Manly and Brisbane. You want to take those two?
No, I'll No, I don't want to take Manly. Throw in Brisbane, throw in the Storm.
Okay, and Dave, you got to give us four.
I'm going to go Dragons first, then I'm going to go Storm, then then Warriors.
Yep.
Then Manly.
Alrighty, and we'll talk to Nick soon. Everybody, I think that's where we're going to have to leave Matty Duncan for the show this evening. I hope you've enjoyed watching us chat to this great man. We do want to leave with one final question for the quiz and a little bit of a point about the new Brisbane team name. The first of the question, in 2002 when the Bunnies returned to the NRL, their first game was a Charity Shield match against St George Illawarra. Phil Gould notably made an appearance as a touch judge in this game. Who was the referee?
It's got to be Harrigan.
It's not Bill Harrigan.
It's not Bill.
So while you're thinking about that, I'm going to ask you, Matty. Brisbane Bombers, what is the dealio?
Who knows? Ridiculous.
I don't know this story. What happened there?
The second Brisbane team. You know, we had the whole WNicholson.com. You can have a look and you can see all the little mock-up logos. They've released the logo. Dave, do you want to see it?
Yeah, I do want to see it. Are you telling me that the actual second Brisbane team bid has released their official logo at the moment?
Their official logo is out. Where are we?
Brisbane Bombers.
There you go. There it is.
I like that.
But as a name for a football side, when you've got the Essendon Bombers, that's a reason. They made comment that it made great strides with focus groups and it tested really well with it on the man on the street, and that could be because the Essendon Bombers are around. Do you think, Matt?
Oh, of course, Paul. It's ridiculous. You know, there's so many names you could have chosen, and why they'd go that, I've got no idea.
The big one that I liked from they had the River City Kookaburras, which I never saw River City sticking around because I think you got to go with Brisbane, or at least South Queensland or something regional. I know you guys are known as the River City, but you ask a lot of people outside of Brisbane, they wouldn't know that.
They were going to go Ipswich as well.
No, that was a different consortium, but what about the Brisbane Kookaburras? What's wrong with the Brisbane Kookaburras?
I don't hate it either. No Kookaburras.
Bombers is better than Kookaburras.
Please! Bombers is terrible.
Bombers isn't terrible. Just because someone else uses it doesn't mean it's terrible.
The only way they can...
That's like saying the Canterbury Bankstown Bulldogs is no good because there's another Bulldogs in AFL. That's ridiculous. You can have...
You don't work for the marketing firm that did this, do you, Matt?
No, I don't. But don't hassle them. You don't have to come up with something completely original. The Gold Coast Titans. The Titans, oh my goodness, they've got the Tennessee Titans in the NFL. Oh, you can't use Titans then. Come on, people, stop being childish.
But the problem with the Titans were they originally were the Gold Coast Dolphins. And
they got told they couldn't do it.
My boys Reddy kicked up a big stink about that. You know, it's about competing in similar markets, you know. So, and AFL, particularly these days, is, you know, NRL and AFL compete in similar markets. I definitely wouldn't have gone with a Bombers name.
No, it doesn't make a lot of sense to me. The lack of originality. I haven't got a massive issue in some respects if it was like the Bulldogs or whatever is, yeah, everyone knows that as a fairly generic name for a team. But the Bombers is Essendon. And I think if you're trying to break into the Australian market as a new team in Brisbane, you go with something original. I just think it's... as someone pointed out on Twitter today, it doesn't really matter because they're probably 1,000,000 to 1 of actually getting into the competition in the next 3 or 4 years anyway. Matty, that's been you for this evening. We've had an enjoyable time. Have you got any ideas who the referee was that Phil Gould approached and said he'd help out in that Charity Shield game back in 2002?
No idea. Tim Mander, got nothing.
No. A suggestion from Mondo Crewster was Stephen Clark. That's not correct. He did a couple of grand finals, I think, back-to-back in the post-Bill Harrigan era. A bit on the podgy side, perhaps. Video referee now.
Podgy side?
Just a little bit in the face.
He's a video referee now. Oh, I don't know video referees that well. No, don't know. You're going to have to tell us.
Oh, come on, you can guess it, people. Come on. If you're out there watching at the moment, for some reason people are.
Elvis Presley.
Not quite, mate, not quite.
He's podgy.
I'm pretty sure he's either a barrister or something to do with police, possibly.
Honestly.
No.
I don't know.
Any idea, people? Mogsheen Jadwat, there you go. What, 1984? We have a winner. Actually, it's not Mogseen, but just because that was the answer, I have to say it was right. Paul Simpkins is the answer.
Oh, Paulie Simpkins.
Paul Simpkins decked out. I think, I'm not sure what the sponsor was back then. It could have been Amy as well. But, yeah, very interesting. To give you an update, Matty, in the Old Trafford Test match of 1990, the second test, I think it's 4 points to 2. Australia over the old enemy. Matty, we will leave it there. Good luck in your show, Sports Fever, tomorrow morning. You've got a bit of a special guest who's just signed a contract with the Brisbane Broncos, I believe.
Yeah, tomorrow morning, talking to current Dolphins player Nick Sliney. He spent a couple of years with the Cowboys in previous years, and he's come down this year and played for the Dolphins, had a wow of a season, played Queensland Residents, and the Broncos have signed him to a new two-year deal. So we'll have a chat to Nick in the morning.
Yeah, he had a bit of a cup of coffee with the Cowboys a couple of years ago. The other things on that show, a bit of, did I see T20 or cricket action up there, mate?
We're going to talk about, we'll be talking to the Brisbane Heat, the team up here in the T20, and talk about some of their key signings. Hasn't been a lot so far for the Brisbane Heat. I think Nathan Horwitz is our big signing so far up here in the Heat, but we'll have a chat to those guys, and just a lot of sport in general.
All right, well, if you want to listen to Sports Fever, you can jump onto 1015fm.com.au. Plug it into your browser, 8 a.m. in the mornings. That's Thursday morning. If you're listening to us live, particularly, check it out on the World Wide Web. Matty Duncan, it's been good having you on, mate, and we will talk to you next week on the Footy Show.
Well, Dave, thanks. It's been a pleasure, boys.
Not the Footy Show.
Selling and eating Dixie ice creams.
Okay, welcome back to Not the Footy Show. I've got DC Chapman alongside me.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Indeed.
League lovers.
It's time to announce the Not the Footy Show face to
extraordinaires.
Fantasy League results, and there's been an upset.
There's been the Dixie ice creams, refrozen, have come in.
We thought out way too little, it's a week too early. James Dowding, I think his name is, with WTFFL 2005. He still hasn't explained to us what it actually means, he ended up going into... Going into the Monday Night Football game. It was Fee-Fi-Fo-Fum. There's Nicholas. Yes, Nick will be on the show very quickly. I had Uarte for my team, and he had Fee-Fi-Fo-Fum, and he had a 4-point gap, and Uarte dropped the ball over the line. Had Uarte scored that try, I would have jumped up into equal first spot and shared the victory spoils. But James has won with 229 points. I had 225. White Line Failures with 209. Quantum Champions with 201, alongside the Bandits with 201 as well. Not enough Renoff, our favourite name of all the teams, down in ninth spot with 190. GD from the Greenhouse, I'm pretty sure he's watching now. Mate, you finished in 12th. Where are those boys? Gorston Gladiators, 25th, 149 points, mate. You'll do better next time.
I beat my two sons.
A special mention goes to my nephew Wise, who the best battle cons finished with 76 points in second last. St. Lamain Happy Dragons, Matty Vickers, they finished on 85. But Daz rated Dingoes, 46 points.
What were they doing? Were they trying to lose?
He had an absolute Barry Crocker. Speaking of Barry Crockers, the, what do you call it? The English have just gone over and scored a try to make it 6-4 to England with a kick to come. If you want to enter phase two, Dave, back here. If you want to enter phase three of Not the Footy Show's Fantasy League, the entries close on at 6:30 Friday.
This Friday.
You need to get your team in ASAP. Get your people who you're going entering in. We haven't had that many entries in so far this...
Because you haven't plugged it enough.
I'm doing it now!
Should have plugged it last week.
I did.
No, you didn't. Not well enough.
I did. You didn't listen to the show.
No, I didn't.
Love your work, mate. So check it out, wnicholson.com. The link's at the top. Just click on Fantasy League. Do your team for phase number three. You're still in the draw to win the sporting bet footy from Brisbane Broncos somewhere. And I'm going to buy some league paraphernalia.
Have you sent out the winners from the first one?
Maria knows where I live. No, she doesn't. This is the reason for that. And she'll get her prize. It'll probably be a Bulldogs scarf or a beanie or something like that. Something nice and, you know, personal. What I'll do is I'll use a web store and get your address and then just buy it and then get them to send it to you directly rather than getting to send it to me, then I have to send it to you and the rest of it. So congratulations, James. Congratulations, Maria, who won phase one. And see if you can beat me in phase three. I came so close. Oh. So close in phase two. I'm going to beat you in phase three. Benny Barber will be my fullback. Lock it in, Eddie. Dave, as we go to the break and not the footy show, what do you got to say?
Benny Barber will be my fullback too, Lock it in, Eddie. That's what I got to say. Am I allowed to have him?
Yes, you can. You can have him, mate.
Okay.
All right, we're ringing Nick McInerney right now.
Hey, you got a tip, Bruce?
What a chump.
A chump?
No, a tump.
A tip. A tip for what, Brew?
The footy, Brew.
Nick McInerney on the line. How you doing, bud?
Pretty good, guys. How are you?
Now, Dave Chapman is alongside me, and Dave wants to know who you are picking for fried rice right off the bat, because we realised doing the interview with Matt that we all needed to predict two teams each.
At least two teams. I had to predict four.
Just to get their fried rice, because you had first pick, mate.
Well, that's it. I haven't actually had a look at the old fried rice. Let me have a bit of a look and see my hot chocolate favourite for the round.
Just go the Dragons.
Oh, there's a couple of juicy ones. The Dragons surely have to be tossed into the mix. I think Melbourne have to be tossed into the mix against Canberra, even though it's in Canberra. Well, okay, quick decision. Let's lock in Melbourne against Canberra.
Oh, Melbourne. Alrighty. So
I'm taking the Storm. Dead set special fried rice.
The dominoes fall, and that says that I'm going to pick the... I'll go the Broncos. And Matty's going to go the Warriors.
And I'm going to go the Dragons.
And you're going to go the Dragons. Which we could have done very easily if I just asked everybody for one thing. So there's his fried rice. Now, Nick, we're going to get your tips for round 18. And as we do that, Dave, I printed out something for you earlier.
Yes, you did.
I did. It's the gains and losses for 2012. We may go into this a little bit more in-depth in coming weeks, everyone. But as we go through the games that are on there right now, we're just quickly going to get give you an indication of who maybe people have signed for 2012.
Are a few teams that have no gains.
Yeah, it's still early on. Australia 12 points to 6 in the second test, by the way, everybody.
Cliffy Lyons went over.
Cliffy Lyons just scored a great try. We're going to start with the Warriors and the Bulldogs at Mount Smart on Friday night. Now, Nick, the Warriors have signed Nathan Friend. He is their big addition for 2012. And the Bulldogs... The Bulldogs, who have they signed?
The Bulldogs have signed James Graham, who is... coming from St. Helens, and is the...
Very good prop. Very good prop from England.
Now, is he the captain of...
I think he captained them last year, possibly. I couldn't give you a guarantee on that.
So a very solid signing.
Very good signings for both teams. Now, speaking of on-the-field action, mate, do you give the Bulldogs any chance?
No. Sorry, Bulldog supporters. If the Warriors don't win convincingly, I will probably have to do a nudie run somewhere.
The ladies will be cheering. The next game sees the Broncos... Oh, we've both gone the Warriors, by the way, mate. The Broncos play the Titans on Friday at Suncorp. The Broncos have signed zero people. What about the Titans, Dave?
The Titans, if I can find them, have signed Jamal Idris, Luke Douglas, Bo Champion, Nate Miles, Bo Henry, Bo Falloon, and that's it.
That's a pretty good...
But that's pretty good as well.
A clean out.
That's a massive clean out for the Titans. Idris, Douglas, Champion and Miles are the biggies. But on the field this Friday night, do you give the Titans any chance at all to beat the Broncos, mate?
No way. They have been in terrible form, and I've got the Daily Telegraph collecting the set of cards that came with the paper a little while back.
Yeah.
And I thought I'd open them because he already had them. I doubled up on the packages, and here I was looking through the super shiny cards that come at the back, and there was one that was halfback of the year. I don't know if you could tell me who that was last year. Do you remember?
Halfback of the year?
Yeah, in the old Dally M.
That's a good question. I'd go JT.
Well, unless these cards are sadly mistaken, I am looking at one... Scotty Prince.
Oh, no, that's right. Scotty Prince.
What?
Scotty
Don't
Prince
tell
got it.
Me that.
Scotty Prince got it, yeah.
What has he done for me lately? I couldn't believe. What happened to the bloke in the space of 1 year?
Yeah, it's not the same player.
That is an interesting side note. I think Brisbane 13 plus.
Yes, indeed, I agree. Broncos.
Can I point out here that I picked Princey as my marquee player in the fantasy comp this year, and he's just gone absolute...
How many wins have you got this for the season, mate?
Oh, don't ask.
We've played 14 games, he's won one.
That's probably got a bit to do with it, eh?
Yeah.
Ouch.
When other people, their marquee players are getting 25s and 30, and my fella's getting 12.
Paul Gallen, baby, 8th overall. Rude and wheat, boys. Rabbitohs up against the Roosters. The Rabbitohs have signed Diddley Squat. The Roosters. Oh, sorry, Rabbitohs have signed Matt King. That's fairly decent. And they've got Luke Burgess as well, who's with them now. But what about the Roosters, Dave?
Roosters have signed Anthony Mitchell from the Eels and Jack Bosden from the Dragons. Eh, two average signings. Bosden's got a bit of potential there. Don't know too much about Anthony Mitchell. He was the hooker, yeah, that had a bit of...
Yeah, a bit of toe. He's not bad. He's not a bad hooker.
Yeah, yeah. But he's never really delivered, though.
He hasn't had much of a chance in first grade, to be honest.
Okay.
Oh, Ricky Stewart with a terrible chip and chase. Gives possession back to the English, and they will go down and they will score a try to level it up. Just predicting the future, even though it's 20 years ago. Roosters and Rabbitohs, mate. Who do you like here?
Well, this one's pretty tough. I didn't see any of the Roosters' game on the weekend, but having looked at a few of the stats, did Carney have a blinder or did he just fall over twice?
No, he had a blinder, mate. Really good.
Well, if that guy's back, then there are a big chance in his match. South have been extremely inconsistent, but to be honest, I think the Roosters are going to have to do it more than once in an entire season, so I'm going to have to take South. Roosters proved me wrong.
Yeah, I agree with you, mate. I've got the Bunnies to beat the Roosters. I would like to see Greg Inglis move to fullback. What's the news?
You said they were going to score a try.
I lied. You said the Roosters, didn't you, mate? No, you said the Rabbits as well.
Yes, I said Rabbits.
Cowboys and Tigers, mate. This is at Dairy Farmers.
Well, the Cowboys proved absolutely everybody wrong on the weekend, or on Monday, sorry. Don't quite know how they did that. Watched a little bit of the game, and Newcastle were pretty ordinary. I suppose that didn't help their cause. Maybe they went out a little bit complacent with the old JT out. Thought they'd just roll over. But they're pretty hard to beat out there.
Yeah, and they're doing a good job. I will give them credit. Having said that, I picked the Tigers.
A lot of the young blokes who came on the field performed pretty well. You wouldn't have known that they had only had a handful of first grade games, a couple of them as well.
Yep.
And the Tigers severely hurt me against the Eels. I knew I should have picked the Eels.
but you didn't, did you?
Yeah, this one's pretty hard. I think the Tigers will bounce back after last week. If they don't, they're absolutely no hope to make any sort of a say in the competition. That's how little faith I'm starting to have in those guys. I think they'll have the biggest point to prove, and they'll get over the top of the Cowboys.
Yeah, I'm with you. I've got the Tigers. You're repeating what you said before, but just say it again.
Well, JT, it's hard to back the Cowboys without JT, but they played so well.
But you're going to anyway, right?
I'm going to, yeah.
All right, the next game is the Panthers. Actually, we didn't do the gains and losses for those teams, mate.
North Queensland have gained Corey Patterson from the
Knights.
And
it looks like they're going to lose Willie Tonga to the Eels. Willie Tonga has said he doesn't want to stay in Queensland, North Queensland.
And West Tigers have gained Adam Blair, Joel Reddy from the Eels, and Matthew Bell from the Panthers.
Interesting signing, the Joel Reddy one. There's a chance you might see him at fullback next year, ladies and gentlemen.
Ooh, interesting.
What's Joel Reddy doing with himself at the moment?
He's got a pectoral tear. He's out for the rest of the season. But he can't defend in the centres. I don't know why he plays in the centres. He's a winger or he's a fullback. Tigers don't have Tim Moulton or Wade McKinnon next year. Who knows? Maybe Joel Reddy is the guy they're putting at fullback. Adam Blair is a great signing for them. I know there's a lot of issues about who they've got rid of to get him, but you know, if you had to ask me who I would take if I had Bryce Gibbs for feeder and the rest of them versus Adam Blair, I'd take Adam Blair in a heartbeat. Matty Bell is a solid depth signing as well for the Tigers. The next game, Panthers and the Eels. The Eels have done a massive buying spree. They've got Chris Sando coming to the club, Ben Roberts, Essie Tonga, Joseph Paulo joined last week, and probably Willie Tonga as well. And the Panthers, Dave?
They've signed Junior Vaivai from the Rabbitohs.
And that's about it. They've just lost Trent Waterhouse overseas as well. However, like the Panthers. I like the Panthers. I like the Panthers. I like the Panthers a lot.
What's the news on the pair from Tigers?
Nothing new. Ryan, Hynington, they'll probably stay at the Tigers.
Yeah, okay, all right.
Hynington probably most definitely will stay at the Tigers.
I must admit, I did think it was a little bit... I when they said that they reckon that they're as good as gone, I thought Hynington leaving the Tigers, I just... Anyway, all right.
Anyway, who do you like here, Matty? Nick, I'm confused.
Oh, it's very tight. The Eels, they are starting to play some good footy, and just when Penrith were starting to, I believe, play some good footy, have sort of stripped on a bit of a hurdle. I think the Tigers probably helped the Eels. I think the Tigers, even though they sucked, they still should have won that game last week. They had plenty of opportunity.
Yep.
I think up against Penrith, who are probably a little bit more grinded out than the Tigers, a little bit more consistent, safe sort of football, I think Penrith should be too good for the Eels, unless Jared Hayne, that's the thing, Jared Hayne factor, the guy's an absolute genius. If he scores a hattie and sets up three, then they'll probably win, otherwise Penrith.
This time last year, Jared Hayne went to Centrebet Stadium and put on one of the best performances I've seen from an individual to win that game single-handedly.
But and playing at 5'8 at the moment, is he not?
He'll play at fullback this week, I believe, if Jeff Robson comes back from a hamstring injury. I'm going with Panthers as well. Dave is going with the Panthers as well. Now, the Raiders and the Storm, this is in Canberra. You've already declared the Storm are absolute morals of the greatest magnitude. The Storm haven't gained anybody, and the Raiders haven't gained anybody, so it's pretty boring when it comes to player signings for these two sides. You've said the Storm by 48, was it?
Yeah, give or take 30.
Okay.
Maybe give 30, not take 30. Right. Yeah, the Raiders, they had a brief little flicker of hope, but I think it was dashed against the Sharkies. Definitely didn't do them any confidence.
No, I agree. They're gone, the Raiders. Gone!
Against the Storm, yeah, I can't see anything but a bloodbath.
Okay, Dave is with you, as am I. Knights and Seagulls at Ausgrid. No Kirk Gidley for the Knights.
Manly. I'm liking Manly at the moment, although they haven't quite done as well as maybe some people had expected. I remember when you take us back to Dragons v Manly a couple of weeks ago.
Here he goes.
Since then, they haven't quite been as impressive as we may have thought, but I'm still going to take Manly, and I think they are still dead set contenders for the Cup.
They've played one game since losing to the Dragons.
True. And
Manly lose Hopewade to Mormon Mission and Newcastle. Gained a few good players. Who'd they gain? And a decent coach as well, didn't they?
Snowden, Tamana, Boyd, and Robbie Rocho?
Rockow.
From the Storm. And as well as
Wayne Bennett.
So
it's not a bad effort. And there's rumours today that, not rumours, there was an interview today with Danny Bedaris in the Telegraph, basically saying he'd like to come to the Knights, but he doesn't want to leave Leeds Rhinos in the lurch if he happened to leave. Final game of the weekend sees your Dragons, Nicholas, up against the Sharks. This, back in round two, knocked about 1,000 million people out of the sporting bet last man standing with this result, when the Sharks beat the Dragons. Is it going to happen again, mate?
I certainly hope not, and if it does, there's another nudie run definitely in store. Not for me, but just the players as well. They'll be running with me. I'll be getting on my personal line to Gaz and saying, mate, what is going on? We're doing some nudie runs around somewhere public. We won't say where. We don't want to draw too much attention to it.
Mate, the wild cactus in West Pennant Hills.
You've blown it, man. Come on.
Could be a bit of a prickly situation, though.
Chase
Stanley, Will Matthews, Jeremy Lattimore and Tim Maltzen have signed for the Dragons. Dave, who have the Sharkies signed?
The Sharkies have signed Mark Tufau from the Knights. How do you pronounce that?
Tufua.
Isaac DeGoyce, Sam Tagatese, Andrew Fifita, Bryce Gibbs and John Green. I don't like losing John Green.
Yeah, but
he's not that fantastic, but he's good value for money.
And I think we're all going with the Dragons.
Dragons.
Lock it in. Dragons.
Matt has picked the Sharks. Nick?
He's kidding himself. Queenslander does a G up.
mate, we're going to finish with you now and the whole show, especially online, everybody. I hope you've enjoyed it. Mate, I just wanted to get a quick recap from you on Mal Meninga on the Wambulance a little bit earlier in the week.
Believe this. When I saw what he's written, I'm just going, are you kidding me? Like, you've just won six straight and you want to come out swinging, calling us this, that and the other. Like, talk about the most ungracious victor you've ever seen in your life. Just shut up. What do you have to say? You've just beat us six times. Just tell us to look at the scoreboard. I couldn't understand it, and I don't think he's done himself or the hatred for the Queenslanders any good in this. Yeah, with this little slag. I don't know what you guys have said earlier. What were your thoughts in summary?
You have to listen to the podcast. you have filled out the NRL fan survey. Initial thoughts on that, mate?
Sorry, what was that?
Initial thoughts on that one?
Initial thoughts? Well, there's quite a few little questions there. I think the one that maybe got my attention the most was the schedule for play. So how many Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday games do we have? I like the idea of tinkering with that a little bit, as I get a little bit frustrated with the 3 and 4 o'clock kickoff on the Sunday and the 3 games on Saturday, when I'd probably rather they be on Sunday, those sorts of things. A couple of different questions in there, though, that I think I'd really love to see what the fans think. So, yeah, people, if you're listening, get on it. We want to hear what you guys think. And like was said, we will definitely pass it on to people that can actually make something happen.
Indeed. So check out wdnicholson.com. Up the top it says NRL Fan Survey. Pretty easy, isn't it, Dave?
Yeah, very easy.
And Dave cannot wait to unleash on this all these topics next week. And I think he will. Nicholas, mate, sorry to drag you away from whatever you were doing. We apologise that we came a little bit late to you, but it's been a pleasure having a chat. And, mate, I'll see you tomorrow for a little bit of a luncheon.
At the Old Cactus.
At the Old Cactus in West Burnett Hills. Some of the best garlic
back
pizza you ever had.
Reliving the glory days.
That's where we filmed our initial episodes of Not the Footy Show. 73 episodes ago.
Really?
They said it couldn't be done. They said it couldn't be done.
I want to go. Brie, can you invite me one time?
No.
Anyway, everybody, Nick McInerney's been on the line. Haven't you?
Yes.
Yes, he has. There he is. Dave Chapman's been alongside me.
I have.
And I've been Warwick Nicholson. For the podcast listeners, you will get a final 10-minute recap of the 1990 Kangaroo Tour second test from way back when on the podcast, as Dave and I actually call the last few minutes for the podcast. For everybody watching out there on Ustream land, thanks for joining us. I hope you enjoyed it to a degree. We went on a bit long this time, but that happens when we get talking footy. And Matty Duncan's been on the show. Maria Cialis has been on the show. Eyes jumped in there to have a crack at Mal Meninga.
Who's Big Mal?
I enjoyed it. We will speak to you next week on Not the Footy Show when we go through the results of the NRL Fan Survey in episode 74. So we look forward to your company then. We'll be live again next week, everybody. DC Chapman has agreed to turn up again next week to go through all the answers to the NRL Fan Survey. So it will not... It should not be missed. It'll be one not to miss. That's the one I'm looking for. And I just implore you to check out the survey, enter your team for fantasy, and enjoy watching those mighty Canberra Raiders get lapped in that great rivalry against the Storm on Sunday. Dave, say goodbye.
Bring your wife, bring your trailer, and save.
Nick, you got anything for that?
Not really, but a whisper in the wind I may have heard. Unless anyone's got a better suggestion in the old fan mail in the next week. There could be some culture with Nick and Woz addressing the finale of Harry Potter.
Ooh, indeed. Whoa. Cannot wait, mate. I'll have to watch like a whole however many movies there have been ever since, but to actually know what I'm talking about.
About 20 hours of footage, you know. It'll be up to speed.
Done, mate.
Have you not read the books?
No, please.
Oh, they're fantastic.
Nerd alert.
Greatest books ever.
All right, everybody. We'll see you next week on the Footy Show. Goodbye. Everybody who's watching on Thingo, goodbye.
See you later, league lovers.
Check out wnicholson.com and NRL Tweet and everywhere. We're on Facebook, somewhere else. Bye. See you later. Au revoir.
Bye.
Not the Footy Show.
Welcome back to Not the Footy Show. I'm Richie Benno with a special report into the 1990 second test between the Kangaroos and Great Britain. We're taking you back to the later stages of the second half, and I'm joined by Big Daryl Eastlake.
Richie, how's this going to work? Because I can't do the commentary at the same pace that Richie Benno does the slow talk.
We'll find a way.
But,
we'll keep going strong and keep on the ball. I'll
do the big moments,
You just get those octaves up to the threshold of pain.
That's the one that I'm going to use.
We'll see how we go.
Okay,
so we're going to press play. England had the ball.
And the score, what's
halfway.
The score, Richie?
The score is 10-all.
10-all.
Because we have 5 minutes left.
Huge occasion here.
We're going to do our best to get the highlights of these last 5 minutes on Another Footy Show. So if you enjoy it, let us know. If we should shut up and never do this again... Probably wise you keep that to yourself.
Okay, all right, here we go.
It goes to Andy Gregory, goes cross field. He finds a straight runner in Dennis Betts, and he's taken by a beautiful tackle from Bob Lidner. They'll play
Bob
the ball
Lidner.
Here, and yes, Bob Lidner. What do you think of Bob Lidner? Gary Schofield
well,
takes a kick from about 45 metres out. The drop kick doesn't quite make it, and Gary Badge Belcher, sporting the beautiful moustache, will run it back out from his own line. Australia, they must win this game in order to level the series, as England had a surprise win in Game 1. What did you think of that one, Darryl?
I didn't like it at all, mate.
Who cares? Let's go back. Now Meninga has the ball. He goes across field. He comes back inside to Daly. Daly is taking the three-man tackle on the 20-metre line. Ricky Stewart goes in dummy half. He threw the intercept to have the score go to 10 points all. Benny Elias goes through the back door and goes over halfway, back to the 40-metre line. He's taken by Ellery Hanley. Now Bob Lidner will take the ball. Great run by Lidner.
Good yards from the big Queenslander.
Meninga gives it away to Stewart. Stewart dummies through three,
oh,
through four.
Oh, here's a big gap by Blooming Bob
Roach.
Blocker
puts the ball out wide. Oh, it's turned over by Stephen Blocker Roach. Big error from
Big can't get up
man.
To the threshold of pain just yet.
Now, what do you make of Australia's chances here with about 5 minutes left? Is there any chance for Kangaroos?
Huge chance that the Aussies, the Kangaroos. I can see them winding up. They're going to open something here. I can tell.
Yeah, it's a bit of a good tackle there by Paul Sheeran on Dennis Betts. And they'll put the ball back to about halfway. It's 10 points to all.
10 points to all.
Less than 5. 10 points to all. That's how we say
Darryl,
it. There it goes to Gary Schofield running through the middle. Oh, he's crushed. A beautiful tackle by Ricky Stewart. He'll offload away to... Oh, no, he won't. He'll have to go back. It's a turnover. The French referee, Baguette Croissant, he will say that it's a pass off the ground by young Gary Schofield.
Yeah, good cover tackle there by Stewart. He's done good tonight. He'll be a champion for Australia for years to come. Here we go. We got the ball. Stewart offloads to Sirenin. Sirenin runs it up and gets tackled by some fella. I don't know his name.
Yeah, it's going to be Ellery Hanley.
Isn't it? Okay, it's a big Ellery Hanley.
Ah, beautiful pass there by Roach to Lyons. Lyons gives it to Daly. Daly finds Shearer.
Shearer's on the outside.
Shearer tries to find
Here's
Lamb.
Here's the opportunity.
But,
no, it's
Shearer
not.
Shearer couldn't find
no,
Lamb.
It's not.
And he slaughters the try. Ah, oh, Daly chips and chases for himself, and the in goals are about the size of a postage stamp, and it's gone dead. Darryl?
Ridiculous in goals, 5 metre in goals. What do they even think they're doing over there, trying to play rugby league?
Well,
on that
you know, Laurie Daly just followed his nose then, and it took him in a lot of places, because it's a pretty big nose, and it'd make anyone topple over.
That's true.
England will take the ball from their own 22. I can't believe it's taken me that long to say.
22.
Well, sorry, why is that, Darryl?
I fought the chance to say piss off Jack Gibbs on.
Good dummy half run here by Andy Gregory. Good pass out there to the replacement number 16. He gives
forward,
it away to
sir.
One of the other players that I can't quite identify because it's about 28 years ago. And Australia will get the ball once again. The scrum is played about the halfway mark. Australia with a big push there. It'll come back to Stewart from dummy half. Oh, he's got hammered by Ellery Hanley. Stewart's collarbone just gone snap.
Shoulder on the
chin. It's a penalty. Penalty to...
Brad McKay's very worried about him. Australia plays the ball. Benny Elias has got it. Oh, he's going for a drop goal. Oh, that's a terrible, terrible drop goal attempt from Benny Elias. What was that?
That was atrocious.
Ho-ho.
Benny Elias with a little bit of a start at a dummy half from 22 metres out. And he's barely got
it
off the ground,
really. It worked
for
you last year, mate, but, you know.
Yeah, no crossbar in this particular game. Great Britain 10, Australia 10. There's less than 60 seconds left. And England have the ball.
England's got the ball. They're bringing it up the middle.
Lidner and Lazarus with a bit of a strong defence there.
Australia
on, Dennis
scrambling
Betts.
In defence.
And Andy Gregory will take it up the middle. Oh, Andy Gregory slips through anything, this man.
He's got a very ugly mug, that man.
The human toad, I believe they call him.
Perfect
away,
mug
and,
for...
And a bit of a clearance kick there from Gary Schofield. Early in tackle count, he'll find touch. And this could be very well the last set of six for the Australians. Need a win to level the series at one game apiece. The crowd, they're on the edge of their seat. Darryl, with barely 15 seconds maybe left on the clock. What'll happen next?
Have they stopped the clock? That's the big question.
No,
or
stopping
is it
the
still
clock
ticking?
Back here, my friend. The referee, Croissant Baguette.
Oh, it's a big...
He's watching what's going on. And he's quartered a repacking of the scrum.
Back in the days when they actually used to have scrums.
Ricky Stewart will feed
not
it in.
Not a farce.
Australia, they must win this game. It goes from Stewart away to Lyons. Lyons gets through one and gets down, put down at a tackle, only 5 or 10 metres out from his own line. Laurie Daly in a dummy half. Apparently, according to the old commentators, there's hardly any time left. Get up, Cliff Lyons, you're a cat. And there we go, goes to Stewart. Stewart passes away to Daly. Daly looking for the offload, but he'll be put down on a tackle by Gary Schofield.
No metres gained there by Australia.
Half. It'll go to Brad McKay, who'll go up through Dennis Betts and Ellery Hanley. Elias looking for options. What has he got? He goes to Stewart. Stewart goes away to Lidner. Lidner goes back inside to Lyons. Lyons steps through one, gives it back to Stewart. Stewart goes across the field, dummies through one. Stewart through! Daryl!
Stewart's made a break up the middle of the field!
He's looking for Meninga!
He's away!
Will he find
he's away!
No, he's just positioning left!
Eddie Howson's on the inside!
Right.
No!
Oh,
Meninga's on the inside! He's over! This is an opportunity for me to get my voice box up to the threshold of pain and start screaming my tits
can
off!
Can you believe that?
How did that happen?
Unbelievable!
There's 30 seconds left! There's been 60 seconds left for about 5 minutes!
You may even say that was MARVELLOUS. Everybody, MARVELLOUS.
Huge.
Not the footy show. Show.
Be a bit more understanding of all the different factors that happen in and need to happen in rugby league.
Yep, what he said. I wasn't listening. we'll see you next week on Not the Footy Show. Thanks, everyone.
See you later.
You've been sleeping over there.